です。
How's everyone doing today? It was a crazy weekend for me. I hope you guys all had an incredible weekend. Welcome back to the American Journal. Thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me. I was off on Friday and he did an incredible show. So we appreciate that very, very much. But we're back. We've got a big show lined up for you today. A lot happening over the weekend that we're going to be discussing today. And we're also going to be tracking the president's moves, what he's up to today, because there's a lot of things that he has on his agenda for today. We are going to be following the executive orders that he plans on signing today at 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. So tune in because we'll be covering that throughout the show today. He is also expected to meet with the Israeli Prime Minister today at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So we will cover that. That should be ongoing though throughout the afternoon as well. We look forward to bringing you coverage on that. He's also expected to meet at 5 p.m. Eastern time today with the Gold Star families for a reception. Now, that will not be covered by the media. They are not allowed. It is closed just to the families and the president. But I'm sure we'll hear some stories and be covering that tomorrow morning. But, folks, a lot happening over the weekend in regards to both the FBI being exposed for its role in January 6th. We're going to be covering that today with Steve Baker as well as Whit Lyman joining the program today, because in Illinois, there were tons of violent protesters, of course, outside of an ICE facility. And he was front and center as federal agents kind of faced off a little bit with those protesters. So again, a lot happening. We're also going to be covering the president's latest Truth Social posts. Now, just to give you some overview on this, President Trump just tweeted out moments ago that he's going to be implementing a 100% tariff on all films made outside of the United States. Now, in the post, he takes a jab at Gavin Newsom, or as he calls him, Gavin Newscum, saying that he's pretty much destroyed the market in regards to those who are trying to film films in California. Now they're fleeing. I will impose 100% tariff on any and all movies that are made outside of the United States. Thank you for your attention to this matter. It's good to finally have a president back in the White House who understands why America First is a very important thing that should be pushed forward. Made in America, films should be made in America, and we should be promoting that and punishing the filmmakers who refuse to do just that. Now, that wasn't the only thing he was talking about. I also posted how the president just moments ago again took a swipe, and we're going to go into a deep dive into this later on the program because there's a lot to discuss. But he's talking about the New York City communist mayoral candidate, Zoran Mamdani. As many of you guys know, he is someone who we call a communist. I know the mainstream media likes to refer to him as a socialist, but you got to be straight and direct. He's also obviously Muslim as well, and a lot of people are very uncomfortable with him as the lead candidate right now to run New York City. Now, it's very likely that he's going to be winning, but President Trump just calling him out, saying he's going to have problems with Washington like no mayor has in the history of the city. He says, again, remember, he needs the money from me as president in order to fulfill his fake communist promises. So calling out Zoran Mamdani, who continues to sit there and say, oh, we're going to have government-ran supermarkets. We're going to force companies that want to flee New York City, we're going to force them to stay. We're actually going to tax them if they try to leave because they don't like my communist agenda. I mean, this guy's going to be a train wreck for New York City, but it's, I guess, earned at this point. So I'll be discussing that later on in the program because obviously there's big news with Eric Adams, the current New York City mayor, dropping out of that race. But if you're wondering, well, why are we talking about New York City? I mean, we have to. The reality is there's a well-orchestrated effort to get communists to rise to the tops of political, you know, New York City, obviously the city, there's also one in Atlantic City as well. So there's a lot of people we're going to be discussing later today. So do not go anywhere. We've got a lot to talk about in today's program. And we're tracking down the communists all across the country that are looking to take over this great country. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's jonestore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like? Oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna. You're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here, in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Thank you for joining me today. We're excited that you are all here. Obviously, we're kicking off the week with a lot of breaking news from over the weekend, plus a lot happening in Washington, D.C. So we're very excited that you've all decided to join us. President Trump is just going at it right now on Truth Social. It sounds like, because we know he's signing executive orders later today, and we're going to be covering that at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time. But it might actually be about tariffs. Now, we don't have official word yet from the White House as to what these executive orders are going to be about. But, I mean, he just posted about the films, movies specifically, that he's going to be implementing 100% tariffs on those films that are filmed outside of the United States. He also just posted about furniture being made outside of the United States as well. Now, he said specifics to that will be released soon. He's also citing about furniture being made in North Carolina and order to make North Carolina, which has completely lost its furniture business to China and other countries, great again. He'll be implementing again more tariffs. So we're waiting for the details on that, but it sounds like that might be what the executive orders are. And again, we're going to be covering that. So you don't want to go anywhere on that front. But a lot happening over the weekend and a lot of devastating news. The violence just doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. And I'm talking about there was two mass shootings. And we'll kick it off with the one that happened yesterday, the one in Michigan. Thomas Stanford is the individual they're now accusing of carrying out that church shooting in Michigan. Now, they're saying that he planted IEDs all around the church. Again, a lot more coming out on this front. There was also his truck that was used as well. There's so many videos posted online right now of the church on fire. And it's absolutely devastating. There were hundreds of people there for Sunday service. And we don't know what the reasons for any of this was. Now, the common denominator between him and another individual accused of carrying out a mass shooting over the weekend is the fact that they're both veterans. Now, obviously, folks, devastating news on that front. The shooting in Michigan, let me just tell you all, the updated number, the fatality is 4. But the one that took place in Southport, North Carolina, that's the individual you're looking on your screen. That is the suspect, Nigel Edge. Now, according to reports, there are now 3 people confirmed dead. They're saying that he shot into a restaurant, and it's all really strange. Now, the consistency here, folks, again, is the fact that, you know, the reports are coming out that these two individuals are veterans. And it doesn't make any sense, because as you and I both know, veterans love this country. And even when they're dealing with mental health issues, they are not going after innocent Americans. Yesterday, we know that there was a child who was shot in the back in that Michigan church. That doesn't sound like something an individual would do who served this country in Iraq. Now, again, I don't really know much in regards to what this all has in common besides the fact that they're veterans. But what I can tell you is that none of this feels organic at this point. None of these shootings feel like these are just randomly popping up. I feel like we're covering a tragedy every single day on this show, and it's really hard to understand why these are all suddenly happening. Are these organically happening? Or are people being radicalized online? Now, again, we're going to wait to see what we learn from all of this. Transparency we're hoping from our FBI. But again, it doesn't look to be like we could trust these people. Now, obviously, I'm going to be optimistic here and say we can. But folks, we've been given so many different instances where we cannot trust our federal government. And so We're going to try to look into all of this, but it just doesn't seem to make any sense. Why would this individual carry out an attack like this? And the first thing that popped into my mind when I'm reading all the reports, you know, I have one of my researchers who's listening to the police scanner. He's hearing that there's reports possibly that the hospitals nearby are getting bomb threats called in. We're also hearing that there's a nurse strike that's ongoing as well in the area. So they're short staffed. How did these things happen? It sounded like initially, like this was, when I'm seeing all the reports come in, I mean, this is everything that the experts are warning you about in regards to an Islamic terrorist attack. So that was my first instinct when I heard all this happening. You see the church on fire. You hear that they used a vehicle. American flags in the back of the pickup truck. Strange. But if you want to be off everyone's radar, maybe you would do that. So to learn that it's an Iraqi veteran is quite odd. Maybe that was his plan all along. Maybe he wanted us to initially think that this was an Islamic terrorist attack. So again, we really don't know much. We don't know much. We do know that he did have a son, according to reports. They believe that was in the New York Post. And everything else is kind of gray right now. It's interesting, though. When we see that these attacks are being carried out, we don't really have much of a layup of social media posts. Which is strange given the fact that it's 2025 and everyone posts on social media. So again, we're still sitting here wondering what's going on in this country right now. What are these motives for all these individuals carrying out these attacks? Are they just looking for attention? Are they suicidal and they figure that this is the best way to go out? I find it really hard to wrap my mind around the fact that an Iraqi veteran, veteran of the Iraqi war would carry out an attack like this. But most importantly, why would he shoot children? It just doesn't seem to make any sense, especially a man who's a father. So again, we're going to learn more and more about all of this. I know there's also reports, again, not confirmed, but saying that the individual in the Southport, North Carolina shooting, that he does have a history of schizophrenia. But again, what leads them to this point? We're going to continue to dig into this because, again, this is, I feel like we're covering this every day. And I don't want to cover mass shootings every day. I don't want to cover domestic terrorist attacks every day. I really don't. I really don't. I think there's actually nothing sadder than having to sit here and talk about innocent lives being taken. And then people just doing this to further advance their agenda, whatever that agenda is. So again, it just feels like this is what the new trend is. And I don't know if it's organic. It doesn't feel organic. It doesn't feel like these are just naturally occurring. It feels like there's something behind this. But we're still waiting to see, because Discord is one of the many groups, the many platforms that's being utilized to communicate. We've seen it in several different federal documents citing that this is where individuals are being radicalized online. There's supposed to be testimony being given by the executives over at Discord soon. I've emailed them. I've written them. I've asked them these questions. I've asked them, what's going on? Is your platform being used for these types of purposes? Because the government's accusing you of your platform being used by the suspect in the Charlie Kirk assassin. Is that true? And they're not responding. So again, we're going to keep following this. But I want to turn to a big story, and we're going to do deep dive into the show later in the show into this one, because this one's a big one. Steve Baker obviously dropped a bombshell over at The Blaze last week. And we're learning more because the details were kind of vague when he was releasing it. And I want to make sure that we're very specific as to what we do know. Because again, what my gut tells me is a totally, completely different thing. I like to just go over the facts first, deliver the facts to you, and then give opinion later. But what we do know is that there's, according to a report that was recently released, that there were 274 FBI agents in the area on January 6th. Now, the word embedded that you see in the Blaze article is being kind of pushed back on a bit. Now, we don't know what this specifically means, because in the document that was released, it does say the word responded. Now, what does that mean? I've got a lot of questions. When were these FBI agents sent to the Capitol on January 6th? Were they sent after chaos came about? Or were they there from the very beginning? Because that's the key point in all of this. Now, do I believe that the FBI was there that day? Were they antagonizing people? creating the chaos? Well, my gut says yes. I've been covering this for over 4 years now. I do strongly believe that that is the case. But we don't have the facts 100% to back it up, right? We're kind of getting like little leaks here and there. But obviously the original J6 committee was trying very, very hard to suppress this information from coming out. So now we're learning more from the leaks. And I think it's important to cover it. And I think it's important to not go anywhere on this front. You know, everyone's like, oh, J6 is in the past. Move on. You don't move on. You don't move on. Because guess what? If the federal government did what I think they did, was intentionally go after conservatives and intentionally create what you saw unravel that day, they're going to do it again. You see, people are free right now, but that wasn't supposed to happen. President Trump wasn't supposed to make his way back into the White House. He wasn't supposed to pardon people. He wasn't supposed to issue those commuted sentences, but he was able to do it because he got reelected. Now, listen, I believe that the 2020 election was stolen, so 2024, I believe it was too big to steal at that point. But people like Stuart Rhodes, people like Enrique Tarrio, the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, they were supposed to rot in prison for decades. So you can't just sit here and pretend like it didn't happen. You need these answers. Now, Kash Patel appears to be transparent on this front. And again, I say appears. I do think he is trying his best. Whether he's getting pushback or not, that's probably the case here. But he put out this tweet. 274 FBI agents were thrown into a crowd control on January 6th against FBI standards. Now, again, that doesn't tell us, were they there from the very beginning? That is the question that everyone wants to know. And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that when he was testifying, I believe it was last week, in front of the Senate and in front of the House, and nobody asked him that specific question. These are important, very important things that we need to know. The American people need to know. We need to know what happened that day, because it will happen again. It will happen again. And, you know, Patel is now coming out and saying that Christopher Wray, the former FBI director, lied. Yeah, we knew he was lying. But what are we going to do about it? Now, listen, my sources, and I'm going to go into detail about this, because my sources tell me that it's not the FBI that's the issue. The FBI is ready to go after everyone who was a part of the lawfare, everyone who's a part of the deep state corruption over these last few years. We'll just go 4 or 5 years. All of these individuals, all of these people we've been talking about, all of these deep state operatives, they're ready to move on. The holdup is the DOJ. And that's the problem here. I want to take a listen to this soundbite from Jake Tapper. So I think it's really interesting how now CNN is covering all this. Let's take a listen to clip two.
It should do. And they have to hold people accountable. We have to ensure that the rule of law applies to everyone. And that's exactly what's happening here.
Does the rule of law have to apply to people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. There's new information over the last couple of days about that as well. Apparently, there were 274 FBI agents in the crowd on January 6th.
No, no, no.
I think the total Cash Patel just
brought some enhanced understanding to that. They were sent there to do crowd control because of everything that was going on. It wasn't a false flag operation, as President Trump suggested.
Well, Jake, wait a minute. Hold on, Jake. How do you know that, right? There's a lot
going
of
about
questions,
what Kash Patel
brand
said.
New questions about, well, and I'm telling you that there's videos and it's always been disputed what involvement some of those persons, engaged in, what involvement they had. Did they spur on the crowd? Did they open the gates to allow them in? I don't know. These are questions, but they should be answered. And yes, there's a lot of investigation and discovery to go forward. We have a select subcommittee, bipartisan, a committee that is reviewing the investigation of the original J6 committee. I mean, a committee investigating the previous committee. Why? Because there was so much bias in the system. And that committee was rigged, I think. And I think they my theory is, I've always believed that they got rid of evidence and they hit some of this. So all of it's going to come out. The American people deserve full transparency.
Full transparency, 100%.
And that's what Congress is working on, and that's what the administration is working on.
I'm always in favor of full transparency, including for the Epstein files, which that will probably come on the floor of the House.
Me too.
Soon, and we'll have lots of discussions about that. Speaker Johnson, always good to have you here. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
You probably heard
Jay Tapper never missing an opportunity to prove to the world that he's an absolute tool. But folks, trying to defend the narrative, right? Cash Patel's obviously digging into all of this. And so for right now, yeah, he's saying crowd control, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. But this is the reason why we doubt anyone at the FBI, right? Because we sat here for the last 5 years and had to listen to the nonsense being spewed about J6. And people like the former FBI director, Christopher Wray, he sat here and lied numerous times under oath. And in clip one, we're going to listen to another one of those instances where he actually lied in front of Congress, which apparently is a crime.
Who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th? How many were there?
Again, I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents on scene.
I find that kind of a remarkable statement, Director. At this point, you don't know whether there were undercover federal agents, FBI agents, in the crowd or in the Capitol on January 6th.
I say that because I want to be very careful. There have been a number of court filings related to some of these topics, and I want to make sure that I stick within what's in...
I understand that. But I thought I heard you say you didn't know whether there were FBI agents or informants or human sources in the Capitol or in vicinity on January 6th. Did I misunderstand you? I thought that's what you said.
Well, I referred very specifically to undercover agents.
Yeah. And so are you acknowledging then there were undercover agents?
As I sit here right now, I do not believe there were undercover agents on scene.
So were there undercover agents on the scene? Can't tell you that one. You'd think someone like the director of the FBI would be asking those questions or just playing ignorant because he doesn't want to know the truth. The reality is he knows the truth. He knows exactly what happened that day. You see, this is what they do. They play these little word games with you and they hope that you don't dig in a little bit further and that this all ends with the former J6 committee. You see, the former J6 committee intentionally erased evidence. We know that now, sadly, the new administration and everyone within, you know, the current J6 committee has to go digging through that. I mean, these people were pardoned for a reason. You think Joe Biden's auto pen just happened to randomly decide to pardon all of those individuals? No, there was a reason for it. The reason is, obviously, as many of you guys can see, they're the real criminals. They committed criminal acts. And now, well, this is the cover-up. The cover-up is pretending like the federal government never had a role in any of this. The cover-up was to pretend that this was all orchestrated by the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and President Donald J. Trump. How do I know that? Well, I spoke with Enrique Tarrio, who told me that they tried to offer him a plea agreement. And within that plea agreement, they wanted him to say that President Trump was working with him through another person, a little middleman, to orchestrate January 6th. And when Tarrio refused to sign the document, they sent him away for 2 decades. Now, obviously, he's a free man now, thanks to the fact that President Trump was elected president. But if that wasn't the case, Tarrio would be sitting in a prison cell right now, rotting for 2 decades. Because he decided not to go with the law the DOJ wanted him to play with. And folks, it is egregious that this continues to happen because, again, they intentionally failed the American people. They intentionally failed to investigate these claims. And it's not just my claims. It's not just a couple of rogue reporters, fringe reporters. These are claims that have been made by so many people, people that were there that day, people that were like, that's not right. You know, we actually have a clip. It's from a series that was put out, clip 4, by Bobby Powell. And sadly, he's passed away just recently, actually. And we send his family our very best because he was an absolute patriot. But he was there that day and something caught his eye when he was filming and recording that day. And I want you to take a look at the footage that he captured because it's very, very important that the American people wake up and see this. Take a listen.
Radio journalist from Michigan was shooting video that day at the Capitol. What he captured were two most charitably called suspicious actors, but they are dressed in such a way that led him to believe that they were government agents. And one of them, after the windows had been broken by a protester, it was encouraging people to pull the rest of the glass out and go inside. Bobby Powell, who was the journalist that had shot it, and he has his camera rolling, he told him that would be illegal. And that wouldn't be a good idea. He warned people off not to go into that window. And then he turned his camera around and he caught this agent or suspicious actor pulling a large pane of glass out, this tempered glass. It kind of folds into itself, crunch onto the ground. When he realized he was being filmed, he quickly dropped it. It seems apparent on the video that he did not want to be seen doing what he just did. So he pulled in a protester and started blaming him. He said, what are you doing breaking that window? The poor fellow that was being accused didn't know what was going on. And then he gave him a couple of really good shoves and cocked his arm like he was going to punch him. You know, we don't know. His facial image is not on any of the Sedition Hunter sites or the FBI's most wanted site. But he clearly was committing criminal damage to property, and he has not been charged. So, it raises a question of why.
Also, the individual trying to, again, opening the window up is even encouraging people to enter, I believe, as well?
Yes.
What's he saying?
Well, he said, why don't y'all open the rest of it up?
Why don't you guys open up the rest of it?
Because I think that probably would be illegal.
Yeah, it was very illegal. And it's worth noting that we should find out who that person was, because, again, folks, those were the individuals telling people to go into the Capitol. I mean, I've found all the footage. We've gone through the footage. Steve Baker, who will join us in a few moments, has probably gone to the Capitol to view the footage more than any person I know. We know that there were specific people, very suspicious, I'd say, who were not only in the crowd, but did make their way into the Capitol. I mean, one J6er reported to me that he was actually pushed into the Capitol, that he wasn't willingly going in. And so you have to sit back and wonder, were these people set up? Well, I've spoken to others who told me that the federal government was trying to recruit them as informants when they were oath keepers prior to J6. So one must wonder, did that actually happen? Did our federal government set up conservative Americans to do what you saw on J6 because they just didn't like them? Because they wanted to booster those crime statistics that they love to flaunt regarding right-wing violence? You see, something tells me that this was a massive cover-up, that in fact the federal government was out there that day intentionally putting conservative Americans into the Capitol. But again, we don't really have the information. One would think that the current FBI director, Kash Patel, would be as transparent as possible and let us see all the proof. If the FBI agents were very innocent and just out there doing nothing, they weren't embedded, they were just there trying to observe the crowd, you'd release the information. You'd release it. So we're going to continue to demand transparency on that front. Steve Baker joining us in just a few moments. But folks, we got a jam-packed program heading your way, especially given the fact there was a lot of violence over the weekend by these left-wing terrorists. And of course, now President Trump is out there pushing back against it. And we've got an update regarding Portland as well, so don't go anywhere. More ahead.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, what, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Today, there's been a lot going on in the world, and we're continuing to dig into everything. Happy Monday, everyone. All right, so this weekend was a good weekend. Why? Well, if you were paying attention to your social media feed, which I hope you were, and I hope you were spending your weekend with your loved ones, but if you were, you saw a lot of left-wing terrorists getting their ish kicked out of them. And we're thankful for that because, folks, Antifa has been terrorizing communities for far too long. And so have other radical left-wing groups. And now President Trump is stepping up to the plate, and he is looking to push back and go after these individuals. And we're seeing all of these videos pop up on X of obviously federal agents going there and stopping these violent protesters. And obviously, I would say they're not really protesters, given the fact that it's nighttime, their faces are covered, and they're using umbrellas because they don't want you to capture the crimes that they are committing. And so they do their very best to disguise themselves. Whit Lyman was actually in Illinois over the weekend, and he's going to join us too later on in the program. But let's focus right now on Oregon, because right now we see reports coming out, obviously President Trump coming out and saying whatever the Department of War needs, they're allowed to go and do whatever they want at this point. If Pete Hegseth says that DHS needs troops, send them in. He made the announcement on X over the weekend, President Trump. So Pete Hegseth is responding. The Secretary of War today ordered 200 National Guardsmen to be placed around Portland. Specifically in the memo that was released, it looks like they are going to be protecting the ICE facilities and U.S. government personnel and other federal buildings. Now, this is going to be implemented for 60 days. It outlines mobilization for 60 days. So that's good news. Now, obviously, if you're the governor or if you're the city mayor of Portland, you don't really want any of this to happen. Why? Well, because it highlights the fact that you have allowed all these left-wing terrorists to run rampant. But they have, you know, the same beliefs, so they don't care. It was interesting because I'm sitting back and I'm watching and I'm scrolling and I see that the mayor of Portland is like, oh, we don't need federal agents here. We've got things covered. Oh, so federal courthouses and federal buildings have been attacked for years now, and they've done absolutely nothing to push back on it to protect these federal buildings. So you think the federal government shouldn't just step in now and say, we're going to protect our buildings? Now, obviously, they have every right to protect their buildings. They have every right to protect their personnel. So the governor of Oregon and obviously the Portland mayor, they could kick rocks. Because they've sat here and they've watched all of this happen for far too long. They have not backed law enforcement, but they have not protected these buildings that belong to the federal government. So yes, Pete Hegseth has every right to send in the troops. DHS has every right to ask for those troops. Because we know that these ICE agents are targets. There was also another three individuals who were arrested for following home an ICE agent over the weekend as well. I mean, these terrorists are out of control. For one, I'd actually like to see DHS go out there and start implementing and making these arrests public record. Let's throw out their faces even more. I know they put out the press releases and the media won't cover it, but we've got to force them to cover it because these are their terrorists. They like to hide it. They don't want to place the mugshots out there. They don't want you to see the truth, but you need to see the truth. You need to see the ugly. That's just one avenue for all of this. The DOJ needs to start adding as well terrorism charges to all of these people. I don't think we've seen one yet. These people are terrorists. It's one thing to peacefully protest. It's another thing to go out there, put all these agents' lives at risk, threaten them, send them death threats, follow them home, try to burn down the buildings that they're living in or the buildings that they're working in. And time again, we continue to see this. The DOJ, you know, Pam Bondi never misses a Fox News hit. Never misses a Fox News hit. But we're not seeing the charges that we should see against these individuals. She'll continue to say, oh, we're going to use the full force of the federal government to go after these people. But James Comey is still not in handcuffs. In fact, I'm waiting for his mugshot, and I'm sure you are too. So while she sits here and pretends like she's doing her job, she's not doing anything. She's not doing anything. And I talked to my sources over at the DOJ, and all of them continue to say she's the one holding up everything. The FBI is saying the same thing, too. Pam Bondi's the issue. Every single person is pointing their finger at her. Is it the fact that she's just incompetent? Or is she intentionally stopping this from happening? Again, you didn't see James Comey get indicted until there was a switch over at the U.S. Attorney General's office over in, or the U.S. Attorney office in Virginia. obviously we saw that Truth Social post that President Trump posted. He was not happy with Pam Bondi. So again, we're sitting back and we're watching all this as it's happening. There could be more. There could be more. We should be prosecuting these individuals as terrorists because they are terrorists. Now, again, and we've got like a whole bunch of clips for you guys to see, but the violence that was taking place in Portland, let's just give it some overview. I want to go to clip 5 right now, and I want you to see, as my researcher, Soy, he calls them the Soy Boys in Portland, what they were doing over the weekend. Take a look. See, that's one of the many individuals who's being detained over the weekend. But again, folks, these people are just running rampant in these streets. They don't care. They don't care. And we have a bunch of videos that we could dig into. I mean, we go to clip 8 next. It just highlights the insanity of Antifa and what they've been doing in Portland for literally years now. So when the governor tells you we don't need federal agents, when the mayor tries to sound aggressive, more aggressive against the federal government for looking to defend those buildings rather than the individuals who are causing the violence, one must wonder, why is that the case? Take a look at these videos that we've put together. This is clip 7. I don't even know what that is, folks. I don't even know what that is.
Fuck you! City of Roses!
All right, we'll pull out of this because the language is a little much for me on a Monday morning. But I don't know who that man is. Not somebody I want to see on a Monday morning. But folks, this is what's going on for far too long. They pretend like this hasn't been happening. It's been happening. Portland has been taken over by terrorists, and it's about time that the federal government steps in and does exactly what they should have done for a while now. Now, we're going to bring you an update in just a moment in the Michigan shooting. It looks like the press secretary is speaking right now over on Fox. She actually detailed the shooter. Again, I want to bring you an update on this because this is happening right now. So the shooter is deceased, obviously, Thomas Sanford right now. Apparently, he had something against the Mormon church, and so they're saying it was a very specific targeting in all of this. But I want to play the clip of her right now on Fox News detailing specifically what that report was about. Take a listen.
Well, first of all, I want to express our sincere condolences to the victims and their families and all of the members of this church who were gathering on a Sunday in the United States of America to worship Jesus Christ. And a crazed gunman rammed his truck into the church and started firing at these innocent Americans. And our hearts break. The president was very quick to put out a statement completely condemning this and assuring the American people that the FBI is on the scene. And I spoke with our FBI director, Kash Patel, bright and early this morning. He assured me and the American public that the FBI is currently executing multiple search warrants at the residences and the family homes of this perpetrator to try to get to the bottom of why he would commit such an act of evil. And the FBI is working with both state and local law enforcement, providing the full support of the federal government. And I just want to commend state and local law enforcement for their swift and incredible response. Local police officers were on the ground of this scene within minutes and knew neutralized this shooter, no doubt saving lives. And they should be commended. Our police officers are heroes, and this president will always respect them and support them.
They definitely were. They were there in 32 seconds, Caroline.
So, folks, that's the update going on right now in regards to that that Michigan shooting in that church. So we're going to continue to follow it, obviously, as the updates continue to pour in throughout the day. But that is the update. It looks like that the church was intentionally targeted by the suspect. Again, we don't know why, and we're going to keep digging into that. But I wanted to turn to another topic because it looks like Tulsi Gabbard is continuously uncovering more information, obviously, at DNI. But interesting enough, she's actually uncovered information regarding Barack Obama and the level of treason that he has committed. I want to get to this clip of her discussing it on clip 10 in just a second. But folks, we continue to talk about it. Barack Obama, I mean, we need to work our way up to being to prosecute him next because we're continuously going through all of this. We're digging into it, obviously, but we know who is behind everything. And for far too long, he's been able to hide behind a lot of this information, specifically classifying everything that he didn't want the American people to see. But thankfully, Gabbard's getting to the bottom of all of this. Take a listen.
Fox News alert, the director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, releasing a bombshell report today that shows a conspiracy by a sitting president, Barack Obama, and his intel agencies to sabotage the president-elect, Donald Trump, brainwash the electorate, and undermine the legitimacy of an election.
There is irrefutable evidence that detail how President Obama and his national security team directed the creation of an intelligence community assessment that they knew was false. They knew it would promote this contrived narrative that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help President Trump win, selling it to the American people as though it were true. It wasn't.
Gabbard got her hands on a House Intel report that's been locked away in a CIA vault for almost a decade. Investigators spent over 2,000 hours looking into how the Russia hoax was born, interviewing 20 CIA and FBI officials. And it turns out that the Obama administration doctored the intelligence to make it look like Putin and Trump stole the election. A month after Trump beat Hillary, Barack Obama wasn't satisfied with his intelligence reporting and ordered his CIA director to create a new assessment of how Russia interfered with the election. This was a highly unusual move. John Brennan handpicked five CIA analysts to write the assessment, and they were siloed. None of them knew what the other was doing, and only one analyst was in charge of drafting this report. There was nothing routine about this, and it was a rush job to publish before Trump was sworn in. Nothing was coordinated with the other intelligence agencies either. Basically, this was home cooking for Barack Obama. There were four key elements from the assessment that were repeated over and over again and formed the basis of the Russia hoax and the Robert Mueller witch hunt. One, that Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to win. Two, Putin took action to help Trump win. Three, the Russians had blackmail on Trump. That was the Steele dossier. And four, that the Russians tried colluding with the Trump campaign.
Yeah, we've already known this for quite some time, right, folks? We've known what the Obama regime was up to. So it's really not surprising that Tulsi Gabbard is digging into all of this and finding a ton of more information. And the reality of it is this should build up to a case that goes after Barack Obama. Barack Obama needs to be held accountable. He needs to be dragged into a courtroom, obviously, and have a jury of his peers look into all of this. Because the reality is that man was evil. And although there is presidential immunity, there was a lot of things that he was doing that he wasn't doing under his role as president. As many of you guys know, he was leading a lot of this behind the scenes. And now accountability must follow. Now again, Tulsi Gabbard doing an incredible job of digging into all of this. And we're learning more and more. But again, we're going to keep looking at this. I know CNN and all these other outlets are trying to go and they're trying to say, oh, what you're seeing is just a revenge tour from President Donald Trump. No, it's not. No, it's not. I actually call this the accountability tour. I truly believe that every individual needs to be held accountable. That's exactly what you're seeing unravel here today. This is the accountability tour. If anyone tells you otherwise, they're lying to you. They are lying to you. And again, we have a ton of evidence proving that these people are all liars, proving that what they've done over these last few years, this last decade, was intentional. They wanted President Trump to go to prison. Now, again, it's not surprising that they're using this to spin. And we're going to go to clip 13 in a second, because they are doing their very best to try to spin all of this, to pretend like, if you're someone like Andy McCabe, who's definitely has committed a crime or a couple, pretend like this is just President Trump trying to get vengeance. That's the key word, vengeance. And he's feeding these lies to Jake Tapper on CNN. Take a listen.
I mean, there's only one thing to make of it, Jake. It is absolutely what the president himself characterized it as. It's vengeance. This is the revenge tour. It's the tour he promised when he ran for office in 2024. It's what most of us who have fallen in his crosshairs before expected. And it's what we're seeing now. And I absolutely expect we'll see more people fall into the same sort of vindictive prosecutorial defense posture. And
No. This isn't the vengeance tour. This is the accountability tour. You see, when all of you and your little friends, your little deep state operatives have no problem going after President Trump and everyone who's working for him and his administration, you had no problem doing it. This isn't anything new. This is your playbook being implemented. And so while Andy McCabe's sitting there and pretending to be naive and pretending to be the victim in all of this, he's full of it. He knows he's full of it. He's lying to the American people because he knows he's guilty. You see, they all thought that President Trump wasn't going to make his way back into the White House. That was the one thing that they thought was never going to happen again. They thought President Trump was going to prison for the rest of his life. And they thought they were going to be the ones to send him there. But for some reason, President Trump, well, probably because he's never done anything wrong, but for some reason, President Trump has never had to deal with any of this, because the reality of it is he actually had presidential immunity and he actually has not committed crimes. And so they continuously go out there and come up with all these lies and tell you that President Trump is the issue. Now, listen. I am all in on the accountability tour. It needs to happen. It needs to happen. The people who sat here for these last decades, let's just say, and lied to the American people, they need to be held accountable. Problem is, we have Pam Bondi right now at the DOJ. And Pam Bondi, like I've told you, is holding up a lot. Every time I ask someone, what's going on? Why hasn't James Comey been arrested yet? He's been indicted. Why don't we have a mugshot? I mean, we got the Trump mugshot in Fulton County within a couple of hours. And if you follow what happened to Roger Stone, well, if we're playing by the same rules, the FBI should be tearing down his front door. Should be dragging him off in handcuffs with dozens of armed agents there ready to go. So give him the Roger Stone treatment. Make sure InfoWars is outside just randomly filming when it all happens. They did it for CNN. Least we could do is bring it to you live. But for some reason, again, it's not happening. And I'm wondering, well, what the heck is going on here? And I'm calling around and I'm asking all my friends, what's going on here? What's happening right now? And they're all saying the DOJ holding it up. Now, again, we're expected to see these arrests being made, or this arrest being made later this week. But it's not the same DOJ. It's not the same aggression that we saw with Merrick Garland. It's not the same aggression we've seen previously. Why is that? Well, obviously, we know that President Trump is getting very upset. In fact, take a look at this. I don't think people realize what happened. He posted this on Truth Social, and I thought it was very interesting. Because in Truth Social, he's thanking Kash Patel and Lindsey Halligan, who is now the attorney general over in Virginia. She's the acting. And he thanks them for getting the indictments on James Comey. But he leaves out his attorney general. And many folks didn't even realize that he left out AG Pam Bondi. They think, oh, well, he's thanking the U.S. attorney. You're fine there. No. He left out Pam Bondi intentionally, I'm told. That wasn't a typo. That wasn't a mistake. That wasn't just the whoopsies. Pam Bondi has been standing in the way of a lot. And we don't know why, but I can promise you this. You see, the attorney general had no problem trying to shut down others from getting all these Fox News hits, but there she is, front and center, pretending to be the face of the accountability tour, pretending like she's actually out there getting these indictments, pushing for these indictments. The Daily Mail reported exclusively over the weekend that she's actually been standing in the way of a lot of this. That for the Comey indictment, that she actually didn't even really have any resources that she handed over for that one. And when I talk to people at the FBI, they're like, it's just absolute chaos at the DOJ. So again, President Trump seems to know that. And I think that's why, and I keep bringing this up, I think that's why you saw the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, get pulled out. You guys are the best. This was the article I was reciting from the Daily Mail. That's why you saw the Attorney General get pulled out of Missouri, brought in as the co-deputy FBI director, which isn't really a role. I think they know what's coming. I think they're starting to realize, and thankfully realizing it quick, that Pam Bondi is really just not the AG that this country needs. And so my prediction, we'll probably see in a couple of months, maybe 4 months at least, that there's a switch at the AG's office. I think that's the reason why you move Andrew Bailey into the FBI so he could go through these cases, know it like the back of his hand, and when you're ready to toss out Bondi, you can make that switch pretty quickly. You see, folks, this is what needs to happen. There's no reason that we shouldn't see more arrests. And let's be honest, folks, I just don't even, the John Bolton raid, okay. He had classified documents at his office. That's according to court documents. Has he been arrested? We still haven't seen Comey get arrested. Even after he threatened the president's life for a PR stunt about his book, 8647, that was a death threat. What did she do about it? Nothing. Nothing. He actually got escorted to, I believe it was Secret Service. So again, you're not seeing much in the way of action from the DOJ, and that's intentional. That's intentional. What a plug for a book, a real crappy book that you hope the American people buy, that you decide to go out there and issue a death threat to the President of the United States. Oh, I just happened to walk on the beach and see 8647, thought I'd take a picture and post it on social media. Cheap PR stunt, but what were the ramifications for it? Nothing. Again, this is the problem that we had in the first administration when President Trump was in the White House. And we're starting to see it happen again. Now, frustrations internally are boiling over because people who are in these positions, they don't have time for this. If Pam Bondi's unwilling to go out there and prosecute these people, arrest them, somebody else will. And it's very likely going to be Andrew Bailey, who's now made his way into the FBI. You can count on it. I think that's the next move. I do think it's the next move. President Trump's frustrations are being heard, and he is posting about it on Truth Social. So we'll continue to follow it as it unravels. But folks, big stories coming up your way. A lot of updates underway. Even those Democrats were calling out their own fellow radical Democrats. Well, you're never going to believe it. We've got the sound bites for you. Don't go anywhere because we'll be joined by Whit Lyman as well in the next hour. And we're waiting to see President Donald Trump on those executive orders that we reported on. Obviously, he's supposed to be signing them. But what is he signing? We'll have more for you in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere.
Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Alex on a top-secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Going on all around the country right now. Obviously, the two shootings that took place over the weekend, we're still bringing you the updates on that front. We're also going to be bringing you the executive orders that are being signed over at the White House. Now, President Trump is expected to sign those any moment now, and we're looking to figure out what that's all about. It might be about tariffs. Based on his Truth Social post this morning, I'm thinking maybe tariffs, but we will see, because it was plural, so there'll be more than one. So we'll continue to wait, see how that all unravels as well. Plus, you know, obviously we've been talking about it, we're covering it, the mainstream media looks the other way on this, but we have no problem directly approaching the problem that's in this country, that's overwhelming this country, and that's left-wing terrorism. There are a lot of them out there right now who are going around the country trying their very best to intimidate both ICE agents, other federal agents, and as well as the American people, conservatives, because they don't like what you have to say, so they're going to go after you. And so, you know, President Trump now obviously taking this very, very seriously, but, you know, folks, I am actually really upset, because given the fact that we just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated, what, 2 weeks ago, one would think there'd be more of an aggressive approach to all of this, that we would see, we'd hear more about raids going on, people being targeted, those left-wing groups, those NGOs being targeted. And again, we haven't really seen much. Steve Baker is joining us in just a few moments as well to dig into the J6 latest. So we'll go to him in just a few moments. But folks, I want to keep mentioning the fact that enough is enough with all of this. Enough is enough. You know, for far too long, we've sat here and we've listened to others pretend like this wasn't an issue, but this is an issue. This is an issue. And I'm very disappointed, because, you know, I thought when Charlie Kirk was assassinated that all of these individuals leading these federal agencies would, in fact, make it very, very strong, this message of, if you F with us, we'll go after you. And I know a lot of you are like, oh, Brianna, you're overstating it. I thought doors were going to be ripped off the hinges the following day after his memorial services. But that wasn't the case. That didn't happen. Why didn't that happen? You know, we sit here and we pretend like we are going to, we're going to crunch down on all of these terrorists who were trying to destroy our country. Their communist Marxist agenda, who are being funded by countries and people specifically who hate us. But this doesn't come off as a serious administration at this point. I know the White House is, because they're aggressively signing executive orders and working hard. And although Pam Bondi, again, won't miss a Fox News hit, there's no actions. There's no actions being taken that are serious actions. We know who's responsible for all of this. We have it all mapped out. I mean, so many people. Mel Kay has literally sent over all of her proof of as to who's behind the NGO funding. These are the people you want to go after. These are the people who are destroying our country. And the fact that Charlie Kirk was assassinated in this country and nothing has really happened since then, his service was over a week ago, tells you everything you need to know. He had friends in big places. What's going on? We're going to keep digging into that, because that to me is probably the biggest issue right now. We should be going after these people. Having to designate Antifa through an executive order as a terrorist organization is, I think, embarrassing. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has been fighting that battle. She wanted them to be designated as a terrorist organization through legislation. She's actually going to be joining the show later this week to talk about this. But the reality of it, the fact that she had to sit there and try to push back and try again to push forward the legislation to do just that, and nothing has happened, tells you everything you need to know about the people at the top right now. Although they claim to be Republicans, they are spineless, spineless fools. Folks, Steve Baker is going to be joining us in just a few moments because he dropped an exclusive that obviously caught a lot of people's attention, even us over at InfoWars. And so he's going to break down the very latest on that front. So do not go anywhere. Plenty of more to unravel in just a few moments.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Heard that you are new in town. Someone said you bought it down. Well, later I'll be coming round.
Welcome back to The American Journal, folks. Oh, we've got a lot to discuss. Because on Friday I was out, and obviously Rob Dew did an incredible job at holding down the fort for that. But a lot of news was breaking, and I was sitting back, and I was like, do I continue to take the day off, or do I jump on this? Because there was a big story that the blaze broke late Thursday evening, and it was a complete bombshell. We're learning more and more about the FBI's role on January 6th, and specifically, how many agents responded that day. And that's the term that they're using. They're using the word responded in regards to 274 agents who were there that day. Steve Baker broke the story over at The Blaze, and he's joining us now to discuss. It was an incredible piece that caught the eye, obviously, of the FBI and so many more, even the president reacting. So Steve is here with us today. Steve, thank you for joining the program. You know, like I said, I was off on Friday. You were off on Friday, but we actually couldn't take off on Friday because there was so much happening, and this was a complete bombshell. So break down the latest, because I know at first we thought that it was embedded, but it appears based on kind of like the documents that were released that they're saying responded, but they won't tell you when these FBI agents responded. Is that correct?
We know when they responded because we have access to the Capitol CCTV video. So we are able to see them coming in. We know what time they came in. We know when they arrived in bunches. Like, for instance, the FBI, their first tactical unit didn't arrive until about 238 or 240, something like that. And they were already on their way. They came in through the south entrance. And then as soon as they walked in the door on the lower level of the Capitol in the south entrance, right around 240 something, 244, Ashley Babbitt her body was carried downstairs by another tactical group from another agency. And right there in front of that door, the FBI tactical medics were working on her. And, you know the story, by pure coincidence, I was there at that very moment, saw it with my own eyes. And that was the first time that we saw the FBI in the building. Now, we've seen videos of them escorting senators and Congress members downstairs into the tunnels, but that was after that. And again, these were the tactical units. These were not the quote unquote plain clothes as everybody's been calling it. Now, we called it plain clothes in our story. John Solomon referred to them as plain clothes in his story. And that's because Congress members were telling us that it was plain clothes. And then when we go to the actual after action report, Just the News released, right after our story came out, then you see in there is one mention of plain clothes by a suggestion from another interviewed FBI agent in that after action report. So that's probably the genesis of that term. But the FBI doesn't really like the whole term plain clothes, although they do use it. I mean, they don't wear a uniform. The tactical teams, you know, when they are all kitted up, as they say, that's kind of uniformish, military, garb, but as a general rule, there's not a dress code with the there's not a national standard for a dress code with the FBI any longer. So they can show up in flannel shirts, T-shirts, jeans at your house if they're doing a knock and talk. On the case of a situation like January 6th, where they got a call or they got emails or notifications to arrive to assist, as they said, in crowd control, this is what they were being told. If that's the case, then as a general rule, they do, in fact, begin to get some protective gear. They'll put on a ballistic vest, which will have an FBI patch on it, or they'll put on their green jackets with the FBI emblazoned on it, and maybe the vest over that. They'll display their badge on their belt, or they'll wear it on a lanyard, something like that. That's typically the plain clothes posture. Now, and I know I'm just rattling here, I'm on a roll. Sorry about that.
No, keep going.
But the reality is that people got really upset about this. And this is one of the reasons the story blew up. There were three factions of individuals that didn't like the way we handled this. For one, when we criticized the idea of the FBI going in for crowd control, that was in response to what Kash Patel tweeted out the next day. And when I did criticize that, and I wasn't the only one that did that, I was criticizing the fact that those of us who have had access to thousands of hours and literally spent thousands of hours on the Capitol CCTV video, we never saw FBI assisting the uniformed police officers from Metropolitan Police and Capitol Police that day with crowd control. It just didn't happen. And not till much later in the day, and we're talking about, you know, I've got them on my own camera coming in after dark, so the building had been cleared out by that time, but that we never saw them standing the line on the riot battle lines with the uniformed police. We never saw them IDing themselves to Capitol Police officers or Metropolitan Police officers and saying, hey, I'm here to help. We didn't see them with their lanyards on. We didn't see them with their vest on. We never saw FBI standing the line or pushing people out of the building or anything like that. And that's, and the interesting thing about that is both myself and Joe Hanneman, you know, we, and I can say this with pretty much a lot of confidence, nobody has had more access to the actual viewing room at the Capitol, where the CCTV video archives are held by Congress, than Joe and I. There's been a lot of other journalists who have been in there, but we have been over and over, and we've spent 2 weeks at a time. In fact, twice I've even taken an entire Blaze team in there of video analysts, and we took the whole week and just went through all of the things that we were looking for. And instantly, when we saw that ex post by Kash Patel, Joe and I went, that's just not true. Now, it may be true that they were ordered by the Washington field office leadership to deploy and arrive and go assist in crowd control, but they didn't do it. And that was the part that got us. Then there's the second group, you know, the next group of people that were angry at us is they probably just didn't even understand the tweet, because they thought I was saying that Kash Patel was lying about the deployment of the 274 agents, which was kind of silly because they just either forgot or didn't know that it was on Thursday night that we broke the story about the 274 agents. So I certainly wasn't calling him a liar about that. And then the next group of people that get mad are just, if you criticize anybody in the administration, you know, I always say that Trump derangement syndrome works both ways. And that's unfortunately true on social media as it is anywhere else. If you criticize anybody in Trump's administration, you immediately get in trouble for it from them, and they start flaming you and blocking you and that sort of thing. It doesn't matter how much of a Trump supporter I am. It doesn't matter that he, you know, with a stroke of his pen, he dismissed my January 6th charges. So yeah, I have a strong affection for the man. Yeah. But if I criticize somebody in his administration, it's for valid reasons. It's not because I hate Trump.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I want to highlight that too for our audience in case they're unaware, but you were prosecuted by the Biden regime's DOJ for your coverage on January 6th. You were an independent journalist that day. You were filming what was taking place. And because you didn't do the whole narrative push of calling people a particular name who were there that day, referring to it as an insurrection, they went after you. They actually probably went after you for your coverage, though, when you outed them on their persecution of the Oath Keepers trial, where they put two false witnesses on the stand and perjured themselves. So that probably got under their skin. So for those of you who are unaware, Steve was actually looking at, I believe it was a year in prison. Is that correct, Steve?
Well, they had the opportunity with the four misdemeanor, nonviolent misdemeanor charges that they placed on me to sentence me for up to 1 year. Our estimation is Judge Cooper, considering the contempt he had for me, and he really despised me. I was thinking he was probably going to give me 60 to 90 days, something like that.
Yeah. And well, the fact that, and there was, sadly, there was no media covering it. And so I want to highlight that too, because, you know, we see a lot of so-called journalists who are very aggressive right now with the Department of War because they're changing their media policy. But Steve, when they, and I was there and the Blaze was there and that was it, when they shackled you, arrested you, and dragged you into a criminal courtroom in Dallas, Texas, and treated you like you were a violent criminal, there were very few people speaking out on your behalf. I was one of them. The Blaze, obviously, your employer, was one of them. But there were very few people who were willing to stick their neck out and talk about how this is unacceptable to go after an independent journalist and to prosecute them for covering what happened that day on January 6th. So, folks, that's the important part here that I want to keep driving home, was you were also being targeted by the federal government. But now let's kind of highlight the Trump, you know, front in all of this. President Trump saw your report, and he obviously tweeted about this as well, or put it on Truth Social, I should say, reacted to it, saying that it's been revealed that the FBI secretly placed, against all rules, regulations, protocols, and standards, 274 FBI agents into the crowd just prior and during the January 6th hoax. Now, again, he says, this is different from what Director Christopher Wray stated over and over again. Now, let's bring in the Christopher Wray angle to this, because we're watching as James Comey was just indicted. Do you think they're angling this so that Christopher Wray could also be charged next?
Well, I'm actually surprised Wray wasn't the first one charged. I mean, he clearly evaded, misled, and lied to Congress over and over and over again, particularly about January 6th. And this was under, you know, very, very specific and direct questioning from Congress members. They were over and over again, are you saying, and the... Look, I know that they can use lawyerly words and phrases, and of course the FBI has their get out of jail free sentence when they say, I'm sorry, we can't discuss an ongoing investigation. That kind of, you know, gets them out of having to answer any question whatsoever about anything. But nevertheless, this was a deliberate attempt by him to evade what was happening at the Capitol. Now, this is, you know, let's go back to President Trump's post on Truth Social. I mean, he's, you know, Trump is a loose cannon sometimes, and we all know that when he gets the phone in his hands and he wants to make a social media post. And the one thing that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt is we know that they've admitted to 26 confidential human sources there at the Capitol on January 6th. We know there were a lot more than that. I mean, look, we were able to identify more than that in the trials. Then in addition to that, you have the revelation here of the 270 that were sent there for quote unquote crowd control. Then we also had, you know, great reporting. In fact, we've got Joe and I have another story coming out this morning. I was hoping it would be published before the program right now, but it should be posted any minute now. It's a follow up to our story on 30 about the firestorm that has happened in relationship to this announcement of these agents being at the Capitol. And this is the one thing that we don't have nailed down completely. And some people are going to be mad at me when I say this. We have absolutely zero evidence that actual FBI agents participated in violence or participated as agents provocateur that day, or participated in moving the crowd into the building. There is no evidence of that. Are there people that look like feds? Yeah. Is there a Ray Epps in the crowd? Yes. Is there scaffold commander? Yes. There's all kinds of people. Look, there are professional agents provocateur in the crowd. Now, myself and Mike Benz has been a little bit more vocal about it lately. He and I have discussed this in the past. I've been not completely forthcoming yet on this, but it is coming. We've been developing this for 4 years, but I don't believe that the violence, I don't believe that the provocations that took place at the Capitol were an FBI operation. I believe that they were a DOD operation. And yes, I said it right here. Benz has been laying it out there, so I'm laying it out there as well. In fact, when I called Mike probably about a year ago, and when I mentioned to him a couple of the evidentiary facts that I know about related to that, he immediately said, let me call you back in a minute. Let me call you back in a minute. And he hung up the phone, and then he called me back about 10 minutes later, and he said, okay. He said, as soon as you said those words out of your mouth, he said, I had to take a deep breath and I had to catch myself. He said, because I didn't know anybody else knew, you know, what I know. And so, that is where I believe that this is ultimately going to head. We're in the middle of writing another story about that very thing right now as we lead up to the kind of the punchline of what our investigation has been revealing to us for 4 years. But, does that mean that there weren't nefarious actors in the FBI that day? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that Trump is wrong by his kind of flame throwing in his True Social post? No, it doesn't. It's just that it's very difficult to, take people that have yet to even be identified by name. They haven't been recognized by facial recognition either by the FBI or by sedition hunters or by some of the other open source intelligence people. But we do know that there were FBI agents in the crowd in quite a number before this announcement about crowd control went out. And we're going to be detailing that in this new story coming out today. And this is the work of Will Pope, who is on X as Free State Will. Yeah. And he did better and more revelations on federal and local police, especially the undercover and or plain clothes, depending upon how you want to define that, that were embedded in the crowd that day. And he was just a machine, that when the feds decided to prosecute him, they unleashed a genius monster. They weaponized Will against them, and he found the receipts, as they say today, in these number of FBI agents and other law enforcement officials that were in the crowd. And in some case, especially with Metropolitan Police undercovers, were actually waving and moving a crowd towards and into the Capitol and acting as provocateurs.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I had you on my podcast before where you laid out your reports so far and how you believe the Department of Defense, which is now the Department of War, how they were involved in all of this. And I honestly do believe, Steve, I mean, we have some great people over there now, obviously, with Pete Hegseth running the Pentagon, and we also have incredible people that I know advising him, that I think that it would be very easy to get to the bottom of all of this, to figure that out, because they aren't people who would want to continue these lies and pushing these lies. They would want the American people to have transparency. So, you know, I look forward to following up on that, because again, and I said at the beginning of the show, although like we think that the FBI had a major role in all of this, we can't say that because we don't have any evidence to actually prove it. But again, most of our audience is well aware as to how the FBI has a history of setting up Americans. And so it's not really surprising when you put all right. of the obvious together. I mean, we were watching the Bobby Powell video. Sadly, he's passed away just recently, yeah. But we were just watching his footage of the window that was broken and what he was, you know, saying, that's illegal, don't do that, and how the individual is still doing it. And again, that person is not someone that they've ever tried to ID. It's a lot of very questionable things, but you also don't know if that's an FBI individual or if that's someone, like you said, who could possibly be at the DOD. And so you got to kind of sift through all of this and kind of follow where the facts take you. Now, again, we weren't given all the facts, and that was intentional, and there was reasons why they did all of that, and it makes it even more suspicious, right? We're talking about the former J6 committee who deleted a lot of evidence, and now the current J6 committee has to kind of find that and figure out what to do with all of this. So they've got a mess on their hands in regards to J6, but there's a lot of dedicated people who are still uncovering this. Steve, the rebuttal that I get often is, you know, J6 in the past, President Trump has issued these pardons and we should all move on. But we just saw Enrique Tarrio and a bunch of the Proud Boys, I should say, they filed a lawsuit against the DOJ, and they're looking to get paid for what they should get paid for, which was obviously their rights that were violated. Obviously, they were tortured in federal custody, and so they're looking to be compensated for that. But the Pam Bondi's office, the DOJ, responded by saying that the federal government has sovereign immunity against rights claims like the ones that they've presented. Your reaction to being, because obviously you were prosecuted too, when you hear the federal government under Trump, the DOJ say, oh, we've got sovereign immunity to claims like these, do you think that they should have sovereign immunity and that this should just be dismissed, like how the DOJ is looking for it to be?
No, there shouldn't be sovereign immunity, and everyone should be accountable for wrongdoing, the government as a whole. Okay, so this administration was not there during the prosecution of January 6th defendants, but it's still nevertheless the arm of the government. It's the jackboot of the federal government that did that, and anyone who was wrongfully prosecuted should be recompensed, just as we're still fighting to see, you know, FBI whistleblowers who were brave enough to stand up against the tyranny and against the weaponization as they walked off their jobs or refused to follow illegal orders or report or went through, you know, protected disclosures in Congress and then had their lives destroyed. They need compensation. And I am certainly, I forget the exact quote, but you know, there's that, idea that the one group of people who are, not held to account for their bad behavior is that, you know, is the group that runs our lives, and everybody else is held to account. Well, except for the pharmaceutical companies, but then again, that's the same group of people in DC and Washington that, exempt them from that accountability. It's the same group of people that exempt the Capitol Police from FOIA requests. I mean, everybody else is subject to it, but not the Capitol Police. Well, why is that? It's because Congress doesn't want their Praetorian Guard, who sees everything that they do and all the rooms they go into and who they sleep with when they're on their travel dates. They don't want them to be able to be subject to FOIA and don't want their records revealed. So it's just Congress protecting themselves. Yeah. And that's unfortunately what government does. And it's true under this administration as it is under the other administration. And it's true of both Democrats and GOP politicians. They just don't want to be held to account for their bad behaviors. And bad behaviors, by the way, includes really bad votes.
Yeah. They don't want accountability for themselves. And we see that time and time again. That's why the American people are just so frustrated, and rightfully so. Steve Baker, you're doing incredible work over at The Blaze. So we appreciate all that you do. I know you're digging into some very big reports. So folks, give him a follow on X, Steve Baker USA. That's Steve Baker USA. That's where you could find him these days. All of his bombshell reports, the ones that have the FBI on edge these days, they're all made public on his X page. So give that a look. Give him a follow. Steve, thank you. As always, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, I've got some good news. We've just extended our sale regarding Methylene Blue, so you're going to head on over right now. Methylene Blue is obviously one of our more popular items. I do the tablets, I do the capsules every single day. But for a limited time, and when I say limited, I mean until midnight tonight, we're still doing our buy one, get one free sale. And again, it's for a limited time. This is one of our more popular items. So you're going to want to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and buy up, because folks, it's not going to last forever. Again, we've got the clock going right now. It is only going on until midnight tonight. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and stock up on your Methylene Blue, because folks, this is the best stuff to use. I use it every single morning and it keeps me up and going. It will increase your energy, helps promote brain health, and acts as a powerful detox. And folks, that's what we all need in our lives right now. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of this sale because it's not going to last forever. Buy one, get one free. Ending very, very soon over at the alexjonesstore.com. Don't go anywhere. We've got more to unpack next.
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday. know my dad and mother. Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the surgeons. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theologyshore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberger's away?
It was Mary Heinberger.
Yeah, they're really smart. Well, they're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heinbergers, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke, the first 2 weeks of a mammal's milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue?
No, I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
Your friend, you'll be... No, she came on the show like 6 months ago. And she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking,
blood, you know,
talking sure. about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got... the beauty queens. Love you, Charlotte.
So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. They're the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to the AlexJonesStore.com customers and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally 5 stars, it's like 4.5, is our Ultra Methylene Blue. So get Ultra Methylene Blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We're excited that you guys are joining us here in the second hour, second part of the program today. A lot to unpack, a lot to dig through. We're following a lot, but before I start there, I want to remind you all, we will be taking calls in the third hour of the program. So we look forward to that. So make sure you stay put, because if I miss something that you want me to talk about or you want to talk about, That's where we open up the lines. We let you guys come on to the show and kind of like do your own little segment. So we look forward to doing that in the next hour. But we're watching right now the White House because there's supposed to be multiple executive orders according to the schedule signed today. It looks like it might be EPA related. So we're going to continue to follow that as those get signed. I'll bring you the latest on that front. But folks, I want to take things to Chicago because over the weekend, obviously, we saw a lot unraveling in regards to the violence caused by left-wing terrorists. But we saw a lot of pushback because the federal government is now stepping in and it is going after these groups who are terrorizing our country. But according to DHS, they arrested 11 violent rioters over the weekend. They were outside of an ICE facility in Chicago. Now, during those arrests, they claim that they uncovered that individuals were armed. They had two guns, and that was taken from them, obviously. And there was also potentially an explosive device as well. Joining me is a man who was front and center during a lot of the protests that were taking place over the weekend. A lot of the crazy left-wing terrorism violence. Wid Lyman joins us from Border Hawk. Wid, thank you for joining the program today. I know you're still in Illinois, it looks like. But you kind of gone through a lot of this. You've been front and center. There has been a lot in regards to the federal agents who have stepped in now and are making these arrests. They're pushing back. They're trying to, I guess, stop these radical left-wing terrorists from going around Chicago and other areas, destroying federal buildings and going after federal agents. So what did you learn in regards to the 11 that were just recently arrested?
So far, they're not releasing a lot of details. A lot of those people are detained and then, you know, released later on, depending on any kind of charges. But, you know, on Saturday, we did see quite a bit of commotion. We saw a new sort of posture from federal law enforcement going forwards, at least at this facility. You know, we've seen all kinds of approaches throughout the country, you know, Portland last night. But on Saturday here, we saw a very different approach. Federal authorities were not having the protesters standing outside the facility here. As you can see, we have the fencing and then we have, you know, boarded up structures behind that as well. So that is the processing center over my other shoulder here. Mm-hmm. So going forwards, we're seeing new tactics here in Chicago. They were not messing around. And about 8:30 on Saturday is when it really kicked off.
Yeah. And so I want to kind of talk about local officials because they were pretending like after President Trump was going out there and saying that he's going to deploy whatever resources are needed to protect these federal buildings, the local officials, the governor, the mayors, I mean, they were all coming out and saying, we're fine here. We don't need any federal agents here. But it doesn't appear to be the case. Now, why is it if these are just protesters, Wid, why is it behind you? It's very quiet. It's very peaceful now. But as soon as it's dark outside, all of a sudden, these masked individuals love to come out from whatever bushes they come out from and they start to get violent and they start to go out there and try to stop these agents from doing their job. Why is this all of a sudden happening? And we see local officials pretend like it's not the case.
Well, it's easy to show up, you know, in the morning here and, you know, it is nice outside. It's good weather. There's people walking around, nothing really happening. And this is the story that they tell. But again, like you said, come Saturday afternoon, there's hundreds, if not 1,000 people out front. They have tents, they have resources, they have supplies, they're making shields. People were arrested, it sounds like, with firearms and a possible makeshift bomb of some variety. We don't have a lot of details on that going mm-hmm. forwards, but again, it's easy to paint one story and then the reality is slightly different. You saw hundreds and hundreds of people blocking cars, getting in the way of federal officials doing their job, massive amounts of heckling, throwing objects, doing all kinds of activities. So, you know, it's a tale of two stories. You know, the reality is certainly more along the lines of if you're going to block federal officials and immigration from occurring, you're going to get some major pushback.
Yeah, and what are you hearing from federal officials, the agents specifically? Because, I mean, they obviously have their work cut out for them. And then when we saw in Dallas, sadly, that shooting, obviously the shooter, the left-wing terrorist there, was looking to go after ICE agents specifically. But what are they saying on the ground?
The temperature is continuing to rise, as you pointed out, Brianna. I mean, across the country, we're seeing massive amounts of percentage of assaults on ICE agents, federal agents going forwards. The agents here in Chicago, I can only speak to that, and they're certainly ready to defend themselves and to defend their installation here. I mean, they're posturing. They're much more aggressive than we've seen in the past. You know, we saw them come out multiple times before the night actually kind of really kicked off, and they're pushing back on the protesters, and they're really ready to defend themselves, and they have to be. I mean, going forwards, we're hopefully not going to see more violence, but it's certainly likely.
Yeah, Whit, I also wanted to ask you about locals, because a lot of the locals who live in the area, I know that they're very frustrated with a lot of the violence that takes place. I mean, we saw the footage that you had. There was houses back there. So I can't even imagine what they've had to deal with time and time again. What has been their response in regards to federal agents now being deployed to the area?
It's a mixed bag, like we've seen across the country. You know, you have residents in places like D.C. and Chicago here where they welcome. You know, we saw Commander Bovino walking around downtown Chicago, and he got a mixed response from some people. But most of the time, people are positive. I mean, again, like you said, we're at this, you know, little installation right here. And if you went blocks that way, you know, you wouldn't see a large federal enforcement there. So going forwards, I think you're going to continue to see people. I don't want to get hit by a car. Sorry.
No, we don't want you to get people... hit by a car. It's not worth it.
Not worth it. You're going forwards, we're going to see, I think, a mixed response from the community here. But a lot of the people here are local, the people that are protesting. So I think it's going to be, again, a tale of two stories.
Yeah. And what I wanted to ask you, there was an ICE agent. I know this wasn't in where you are right now. This was in New York City. But there was an ICE agent who was accused of roughing up a woman. And a lot of those in the corporate media weren't very happy about this footage. They were calling for this ICE agent to be, or I think he's with ICE, for him to be fired. Based on how he handled this woman. But obviously she put her hands on him first, and you should never do that. And he was telling her to back off, and she wouldn't. Jack Posobiec is coming out now and saying that although he was relieved, now he's being brought back into the agency, so he does have his job back. But, I mean, you're the one who covers this for Border Hawk. I mean, how important is it while we sit here and we ask Americans to come step up to the front plate and serve this country by joining ICE so that they could carry out these mass deportations? How important is it? Oh, it looks like we've lost Whit because there's some signal issues. So let me get back to him in just a second. But, you know, Jack Posobiec coming out over the weekend and saying that this agent, I believe it was ICE, has been brought back in. He's fine now. But there were reports, and there was also statements from DHS, that this individual is being pulled from his job. And so when we sit here and we watch as ICE asks Americans to step up and to serve, and they're offering all these incentives, the reality of it is one must go, well, I mean, if you guys are going to fire someone so quickly because of the mainstream media's attack on them, why would anyone want to become an ICE agent? I mean, anyone with logic probably would say, you know, I'll stay clear of that. I don't want any part in that at all. But I want to bring Whit back in because it looks like we have a signal again. Whit, you know, I just brought up the ICE agent who was, you know, apparently no longer with the agency, but according to Jack Posobiec, he's being brought back in. But you work, obviously, with a lot of these ICE agents. You're very well aware. Now it looks like, obviously, he's coming back, but ICE is asking for more Americans to step up to the plate and to become ICE agents. What does it say when we step away from these agents when they actually have to rough up someone because that woman touched him first?
You know, these are what we would call pain points. You know, it's going to get ugly out here at times. It's going to get ugly in immigration court. I mean, Saturday was ugly by every stretch of the imagination. You know, they're deploying 40 millimeter rounds into the crowd, non-lethal rounds. So, I mean, you're going to have these pain points going forwards, and you're still seeing thousands and thousands of people apply for Border Patrol and ICE. Yeah, we talked to Border Patrol chief, and he mentioned that people are coming out of retirement to join the Border Patrol to, you know, continue their mission that they were felt like they couldn't do during the Biden administration. So going forwards, I think you're going to continue to see more recruitment and more people going forwards. But they are under a very heavy scrutiny, and they do have to be careful about what they're doing and how they're doing it. But you're going to see the temperature continue to rise. I mean, especially with assaults, especially with shootings. I mean, the Dow situation, those details are shocking. You know, a person perched on a roof firing down into a facility, very similar to this one right here. So I think you're going to see the temperature again continue to rise, but these agents are certainly out in harm's way.
Yeah, they are. And we're not going to let them stop. You know, mass deportation is going to happen. It's the reason why President Trump was elected in the first place. And nothing's going to come in between that. Wade, you're doing incredible work. We want to thank you for all the great stuff you're doing right now. And I know it's not easy dealing with these left-wing terrorists and being front and center in all of this. So thank you for continuing to go out there and stay safe.
Thank you so much for having me. Actually, the parking lot this morning has been as sketchy. So thanks again.
Yeah, be very careful. We don't trust them. That's Whit Lyman over at Border Hawk, folks. Give him a follow on X because, folks, he is out there. He is pushing back. He's front and center to all of this violence that's going on throughout the country. And we have to reward independent journalists when they're doing incredible work. So that's very important that we do just that. I also want to remind our audience that we have a very limited time sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to stock up if you're a big fan, because I'm a big fan of Methylene Blue. It is a buy one, get one free sale. We have it up right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It is just being extended till midnight tonight. So again, now is the time. I know everyone loves this. I hear about this all the time. Everyone texts me. They're big fans of this. So this is where you're going to want to stock up. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. If you're someone who's looking to boost your energy level, your brain health, that's a big one. I need that these days. And also promote healthy detoxing. Because again, folks, this is an important one. I take about one tablet, one capsule a day before I come on air. And you notice when it kicks in. I notice when it kicks in. My energy boosts is much needed these days. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. When you support us, you keep us up and running when you make those types of purchases over at the alexjonesstore.com. So we appreciate it when you do. Again, the sale's not lasting forever. It's going to end at midnight. So do that right this second. Right this second. All right, folks. I want to talk about something else because, you know, Dems are threatening to shut down the federal government. And honestly, I don't care. Shut it down. Shut it down. I know a lot of you at home also agree to that. Because what's the worst thing that could happen, right? Like if you shut down the federal government, you finally find out all of these agencies that we didn't really need in the first place, finally realize and we're forced to realize that we didn't need them in the first place. But Democrats are fear-mongering and they're pretending like a government shutdown would be a bad thing. J.D. Vance is pushing back, though, and he is pushing back on the narrative regarding all of that in clip 19. He's calling out Democrats who are trying to force this shutdown to take place. Take a listen.
This government shutdown issue looming next week, how do you see this? And are you opposed to a shutdown, or do you think there would be advantages to that potentially?
Well, look, we don't want to shut down the government, Martha, but it's really up to the Democrats. Under our system, you need 60 Senate Democrats to vote for the clean continuing resolution that the President and House Republicans have put forward. I think it's preposterous, Martha, and I think the American people really should pay attention to the fact that Democrats are threatening to shut down the entire government because they want to give hundreds of billions of dollars of health care benefits to illegal aliens. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a political party actually advertising the fact that they want to shut down every essential function of government and they want to use that as leverage so that they get more money for illegal alien health care benefits. It's such a stark contrast between Republicans who are trying to put the interests of the American people first and Democrats who I think would want to take money from the American people to give benefits to illegal aliens. We don't want to shut down the government, but if Democrats refuse to just pass this clean continuing resolution, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I think the Democrats are going to bear the responsibility for it.
All right. Democrats are holding this country hostage for things like reinstating free health care for illegal aliens. They're also looking for funding their liberal news organizations. They're asking for $500 million for outlets like NPR. They're also looking to force taxpayers to fund transgender surgeries for minors. And they're also looking to boost their spending up to $1.5 trillion. So obviously there's a lot on the line here. And President Trump, well, he's not even going to entertain any of this nonsense. And he's made that very, very clear, repeatedly going on Truth Social and saying just that. And it's about time that we do it. I mean, it's about time we push back and we say enough is enough. We're not going to be using our money to fund mutilating children. I mean, that's really what the Democratic Party is at these days, is they are trying their very best to push back. They are trying their very best to normalize this. And thankfully, we have some sane people right now working within the federal government who are not going to allow that to happen. Folks, I know when we kicked off the show, I told you that Benjamin Netanyahu was making his way to the White House to meet with President Donald Trump. But it looks like, according to just the news, there's been an update on all of this. A Secret Service vehicle caught on fire outside of the White House, resulting in street closures ahead of the Israeli Prime Minister's visit. The SUV caught in fire in its back seat, and it does not appear to be any casualties. Now, according to Just the News, again, this took place on 18th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue. We are waiting for more updates on this. But again, the president is expected to meet with the prime minister in just a few moments. And so obviously we need to know exactly what happened here, but we'll be following the story as we always do and bringing you the very latest. And speaking of just that, I wanted to bring you an update. It was in regards to the shooting in Houston, Texas. It was around the Houston area. It was a baseball field. Now, we reported last week, and I think we were probably one of the very few to come out and tell you directly that there were three, what appears to be Muslims, who were arrested in Texas for an incident that local officials are trying to brush off and say, oh, it was an accidental shooting. But during a prayer, there was a coach, a baseball coach, who was shot. And so these individuals, these three that you see here on your screen, are the ones who were arrested for this. Now, although they're pretending like this was just a accident, there's a lot of people who don't think this was just an accident. And so they're doing some digging into all of this. And for one, I mean, I know I reached out specifically to DHS to find out these individuals' legal status in this country because it was kind of obvious. And it looks like two of them were brought into this country by, get this, the Biden regime. DHS openly coming out and saying just that, announcing that, yeah, due to the Biden administration, that these individuals were brought into this country. One was given legal status, even though he had a prior regarding drug possession. And another one was brought into here from Lebanon. He was an illegal alien from Lebanon, it looks like. And now he's here on an IR2 visa. Now, again, they're actually referring to him as an alien. They didn't say illegal at first. So I should correct that incident, that little correction here. But DHS is hyper-focused on just two of these individuals, not all three, but just two. And so, you know, I'm sitting back and I'm scratching my head wondering what the heck is going on here. Why are we just focused on these two specifically? Because I asked about three. I know that for a fact. And so you just assume maybe the third one is a U.S. citizen. Now, again, we're not sure because the government's not really talking about the third. But, you know, you can't get anything past my girl, Amy Mack. Amy Mack is one of the very few independent journalists who goes out there and digs. And she's done some digging. And what she's turned up is interesting. Now, they're all connections, and so we should just keep that in mind. But she's released this exclusive, and she is reaching out aggressively to DHS to find out some answers. Because although we're talking about the two that were arrested, we're missing a third. So she believes that the third suspect does have some ties to a mosque, which is known for housing a lot of questionable characters, we'll say. Now, that mosque has received, sadly, some Texan taxpayer money under Greg Abbott's watch. She details that in her latest report. It's available right now over at the Rare Foundation. But ultimately, she's out here outlining the fact that the mosque has a lot of ties to the Brotherhood. And she goes on to making those connections. And she's waiting for DHS to respond to her reporting because she strongly believes that the third individual is someone who she thinks has very questionable ties. Now, again, as I've also reached out to DHS, we're not hearing much on that front. We're not hearing much as if there is any ties to the Muslim Brotherhood officially that DHS is looking into. But these individuals are those that we question. Now, Amy's done incredible work, again, reaching out to the mosque here that she believes that this individual is a member of. And they have denied that to her. So she's going to continue to dig into all of this. But again, a lot of questionable people, a lot of questionable things happening in the state of Texas in regards to Islam. And we just continue to learn more and more about how the Biden regime really just destroyed this country. Destroy this country through mass migration, just rushing all these people in. This is the video from that shooting. And again, the baseball coach was shot. Now we heard he's making a speedy recovery, but again, we've got a lot of questions and we can't allow this to be covered up. I want to turn to human trafficking because again, you guys know that's a topic obviously I'm very passionate about exposing. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna, though, she outed something very important. And again, I don't want you to miss this one because in a tweet, she said something very important that she's getting reports about horrific organ trafficking going on in Haiti. According to the Congresswoman, people are being found dead in the streets. She adds that this must stop. And we don't quite know what report she's alluding to, but I could promise you we've been covering it I've been covering it. We know that this is going on. We know we had two individuals who have spoken to human traffickers directly. We had them on this show, and they outlined how in Mexico, how they are organ harvesting children, using their organs and disposing of their bodies in veterinary clinics. This is going on. This is something that needs to be exposed. This needs to be dug into. If you ever, and I would never recommend anyone going onto the dark web, because it's just, it will break your heart. But I was doing research for a story, and I had to work with an analyst, and we were digging through a lot, and that's where it's all happening. I mean, they're literally selling human body parts on the dark web. And this needs to be, there needs to be an entire federal agency just dedicated to sifting through all of that and putting an end to it. We don't have the numbers because, again, it's not something that a lot of people want to talk about, but it's something that's worth talking about. And so I'll continue to expose it. I'm going to try my very best to figure out specifically what she's referring to in that tweet. But again, it can't be overlooked. But we're also thankful because there are some states that are actually going out there right now, and they are dealing with the human trafficking angle to all of this. You know, I think it's actually one of the saddest things that in this country, we are the hub of human trafficking, that children and women are being trafficked to the United States. Not enough is being done, but Republican states are starting to lead the fight against it. We talk about Florida quite often, but let's focus on Mississippi, because Mississippi is doing a great job as well. They just recently made 7 arrests, and it's been a statewide effort. They've rescued just recently 5 victims and are now looking to put 7 suspects behind bars. That's the attorney general. She made that announcement over the weekend. It was called Operation Fins Up. Since the launch back in 2021, so far they've done an incredible job. More than 550 officers statewide have been trained to investigate human trafficking networks. They've conducted 60 operations so far in the state, rescuing 375 victims, and have made up to 178 arrests thus far. Now, although those numbers are great, and we love to see those numbers, the reality is there's thousands of children, thousands of women being trafficked throughout this country. We should be doing more to go after the Johns who are doing it, participating in it, funding it. I know in the great state of Florida, they're doing a great job. The Polk County Sheriff, Grady Judd, I mean, probably what every sheriff should be doing, he's been leading the way on this issue. The reality is when you start going after these people, the Johns specifically, you really uncover a lot there. And so we hope that they do just that. It's time we cripple that industry completely. Folks, we got a lot to dive into in the next hour, and I'm excited that you guys are still with us, of course, because there are so many other stories the mainstream media is not going to tell you about. We're going to tell you about it here. But I'm also going to tell you about the sale that's going on right now, because we only have a few hours left. You got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue is now buy one, get one free, but it's for a limited time. I know you guys are all big fans of that. So now's the time to stock up. Head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and buy it up while you can, because this sale is not going to last forever. It is the mega sale, and it is going on till midnight tonight. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. When you purchase products like these over at the alexjonesstore.com, you're keeping us on air, and so we greatly appreciate it when you do just that. Support us and get a little healthier. We could all use that these days. I'll be right back in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. We've got more stories to uncover.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene Blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene Blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about Methylene Blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue, feel better, I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with, I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheOliveShowStore.com.
Your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the third hour of the program, and we're excited that you are all joining me. We're going to be in the second part of the hour taking your calls. So if there's something I missed that you wanted me to talk about, give us a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I want to hear from you. I'm going to try my very best to get to every one of the lines. So give us a call now. But we've got a lot we're going to be kicking off and talking about. Obviously, we're following a lot of stories that are developing throughout the country. We just gave you kind of a brief summary of one that just happened moments ago, according to Just the News, that there was a Secret Service vehicle that had is on fire. And it's outside the White House, and that's ahead of the Israeli prime minister's meeting with President Donald Trump. Now, again, we don't know what caused that fire. It could be accidental, just very suspicious given the circumstances. So we will continue to follow that story, of course, as well as the updates regarding President Trump signing executive orders today. He's a very busy man, a very, very busy man. He's probably taking Methylene Blue. I would just have to just assume at this point, but he's one of the incredible people who is somehow able to have energy. I don't think it's a Diet Coke. I know everyone says it's the Diet Coke. I don't think it is. It's got to be something else. But we will continue to follow everything that's happening over at the White House today. I know I love to hear from you guys. So if you're on X, give me a follow. I love to hear what you guys are thinking. I know a lot of you guys do reach out and send me messages, and I love to hear from you. So follow me at Brianna Morello. That's at Brianna Morello. And then we also have our InfoWars X page. That's at InfoWars as well. Folks, I tried my very best. I know we broke the story when Alex Jones's YouTube page was yanked down. It was the Alex Jones live YouTube page that was yanked down just a couple of hours after it went live, because YouTube is claiming, Google claiming, oh, we are now a free speech platform. We're going to welcome those who we censored in the past. Well, obviously that wasn't the case. And they did pull down Alex's page. So I've reached out now twice to Google, and I asked them specifically, why won't you let Alex Jones have a Alex Jones live YouTube page? And of course, YouTube is ignoring me. They don't want to talk. They have not returned my request for comment. And I'm reaching out as a journalist, of course, through their media line, their media channel. So I know they see it, but they just don't want to comment. But I'm going to continue to grill those, especially those in Congress, about the issue, because you can't sit here and tell us that YouTube is trying to change its ways when they're not, in fact, trying to change their ways. And we later learned, too, that Nick Fuentes was also dealing with the same issue regarding censorship. So, again, are we going to continue to do this? Are we going to continue to target Americans just because you don't like what they have to say? So we'll continue to dive into that, because it shouldn't be happening in the first place. But it is still going on while they all pretend like it's not. So we'll continue to follow that story. But there's a lot of other stories we're following, and we're going to dive into in this next hour. I mean, I know I talk about it quite often, but we're dealing with a communist takeover. and they're going after so many incredible cities. I was just talking to a friend. They're like, they're doing it. They're trying to do it in Atlanta as well. But we know that they're focused right now on taking New York City, communists pretending to be just people you could relate to, people you could speak to. Zohran Mamdani pretends to be like this kid just on a mission to make New York City more affordable for average Americans. Well, that's not the case. He's a communist and he is looking to destroy this country. We're going to dive into that in a little bit because Eric Adams obviously just recently dropped out of that race. And President Trump is sounding off on that front. So we'll dive into that in just a few moments. We're also going to be diving into Comey being a liar. Still not arrested, James Comey. We want some answers. And we'll kick that off soon. So do not go anywhere. We've got a lot more to dive into on The American Journal.
Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we're kicking off the third hour of The American Journal. We're very excited that you are all joining us. In the third hour of the program, we're going to be taking your calls. Was there a story I missed? Was there something you want to talk about? Well, give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what's going on. We'll be taking those calls in the second hour or the second half of the third hour in just a few moments. So stay put. Stay put. I'm going to try to get to everyone on the lines as well because there's a lot to discuss. All right. So I want to turn things over. You know, I'm constantly calling in. I'm one of the very few in regards to the communists who are trying their very best to take over this country. A lot of times, those in the corporate media world like to call it different things. You know, the socialists of America and all these, they're communists. And you got to be direct. You got to be straightforward. President Trump is actually calling it out. He just did today on Truth Social, calling out Zohran Mamdani. That's the man who's running for New York City mayor, and he's very likely going to win that race. But unfortunately, Zohran Mamdani is taking over, and he's a communist. He's a communist. President Trump calling it out, and specifically saying just that. But Eric Adams. And this is the really unfortunate part of all of this, because I thought Eric Adams would have a fair shot at, you know, getting reelected, but he just recently over the weekend decided to just bow out of the race because he's not doing too well. Take a listen to how he made his exit announcement yesterday on social media. Take a listen.
And yet, despite all we've achieved, I cannot continue my reelection campaign. The constant media speculation about my future and the campaign finance board's decision to withhold millions of dollars have undermined my ability to raise the funds needed for a serious campaign. I hope that over time, New Yorkers will see this city thrive under our leadership and that policies we put in place should be continued and expanded. I hope you will see that despite the headlines and innuendo, I always put you before me, always.
All right, you didn't have to like Eric Adams. I'm not sitting here vouching or endorsing him, but he definitely was the least communist out of the two front runners right now. Those two front runners being Mandani, but also being Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo's still in the race. He lost his primary, obviously, and he's refusing to bow out because I've accused him several times of being involved in pay-to-play schemes. There's several reports that also back those claims. So one must wonder, I mean, if he really wants to stay in this fight or if he really wants them to bow out, he's probably going to try to leverage that. And there's obviously a Republican candidate running, but I'm not going to lie to you and pretend like that individual has a shot. Unfortunately, he does not. The Republican Party has completely bombed in New York. They continue to do it time and time again. And so now you're looking at two, I would say, communists battling it out to run New York City. Now you have the lesser of two evils, which is Andrew Cuomo. Although if you have a grandparent, you probably really don't even want to consider him to be the New York City mayor, given everything that's happened. Given the fact also he's another one who hasn't been criminally charged for all of the horrible things, the atrocities he's committed, especially during the pandemic. But again, I mean, we continue to repeat it over and over again. He is someone who needs to be punished for what he's done. But you're kind of in a really bad situation now, right? Because a lot of Americans are, New Yorkers specifically, are wondering, who do you vote for? Do you vote for the Muslim communist? Or do you vote for the guy who's killed grandma? Tough one. It's a very tough one. But it's a self-inflicted wound. Folks, the reality is Republicans in the state of New York, they run on not actual promises or commitments to New Yorkers. They run on, are you tired of what they're doing? Well, then vote for us. So it's not surprising that they are going to love the fact that Mandani might actually get elected. And if he does get elected, it's going to be really, really bad for New York City. I was actually just in New York City and I get off my flight in LaGuardia. I'm just like, all right, I could really just use some caffeine right now. So I go to grab a green tea and there's like this like hate crime hotline posted at the Starbucks. If you're the victim of a hate crime, call us. Yeah, the hate crime is the communists who have taken over the state, taken over the city and absolutely destroyed it. I am a victim of a hate crime. They hate the American people. It's just so sad to see the city that I once loved, why I used to go all the time. I mean, I started my career there. I grew up in New York and everything's just falling apart for a lot of reasons. Obviously, it's for the reasons of Democrats just taking over. Democrats not having a bunch of cojones really to call out the fact that they've been taken over by communists within their own party. They've just shifted so far left that at this point, it's not even on the political spectrum anymore. They are just completely communist. Something that used to be frowned upon in this country, called out. It's no longer the case. It's no longer the case. But there is kind of signs of hope. Pennsylvania U.S. Senator John Fetterman is really not backing down on the issue in regards to, number one, when he's asked about switching his own political party because his party has shifted so far left. He answered that directly in clip 21 that we're going to play, but he also has no problem calling out how radical his party has become. Take a listen.
All the way. But, I mean, on the left, you've got such extremes. Would you consider switching parties?
No, I'm not going to switch, you know, but I'm just going to be an independent voice in the Democratic Party. I'm not going to be afraid if people, I mean, and if there are groups attacking a Democrat, you know, the last one in Pennsylvania, then that's, to me, that's part of the problem, you know, in our party. And if you want a Democrat that's going to call people Nazis or fascists or all these kinds of things, well, I'm not going to be that guy. You know, independent thinking and views wherever that I happen to believe the truth, regardless if it's the Republican or the Democratic voice, you know, what I think is the truth in this. Now, in this truth right now, it's firmly on Israel through this. And it's also, it's always wrong to shut our government down. And that's where my voice is. And if that puts me as an outlier, and you know, that's where I am.
You know, I never thought in a million years that John Fetterman would actually be the voice of reason within that party. I mean, that's how far things have completely shifted for Democrats. John Fetterman is the voice of reason within the room. So of course they're going to try to push him out. Or maybe he's doing it because he's from Pennsylvania and they're pretty moderate and he's afraid of losing a seat to a Republican. His voting record, not really impressive. Doesn't really back some of the claims he makes publicly, but not surprising again. But Fetterman seems to be very, very reasonable. Folks, I want to get to another story that also happened over the weekend. This one in regards to President Trump announcing that Amelia Earhart, that he was actually going to go out and he's now ordering his administration to declassify and release all government records related to her, obviously her final trip and what else they have on her. He wants it all made public, which I didn't even know we were calling on, but I like it. Obviously, her disappearance is something that a lot of people are very curious about these days. And I know when I posted about it, everyone's like, what about the Epstein files? This is a deflection, Brianna. Eh, it could be. It could be. I mean, I don't see him getting away with not releasing everything regarding Jeffrey Epstein. But I am all in for releasing more government documents and creating more transparency. That is something we could all get behind. Folks, we're going to be taking calls in just a few moments. So if you haven't done so already, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. I know a lot of you, when you reach out to me on X and you give me, you know, feedback or you make your comments, a lot of you say that I talk really fast, and I would like to apologize for that now. As a New Yorker, I struggle with speed. Everything just goes by quickly. But then my other friends are like, Brianna, when you slow it down, you're not being yourself. So we'll try to get you at a good speed these days. Speaking of speed, I want to speed things up and make sure we're going after the criminals within our federal government, the deep state operatives who deserve to be dragged off into prison. I'm talking about James Comey, the former FBI director, obviously not yet being slapped in handcuffs. You must wonder why. I'm wondering why. I've been waiting for the mugshot. I know a lot of us would love to make merch off of it, but the reality of it is this hasn't happened yet. According to my sources, it's expected to happen this week, but he probably should get the Roger Stone treatment, get a wake-up call, 6 a.m. at his front door, dozens of armed agents ready to make that arrest. I think it's only fair, especially if you were to tip off InfoWars and make sure we were live broadcasting the arrest outside of his home. Again, anyone's watching at the FBI and you'd like to give us a tip, it's Brianna Morello at protonmail.com. We'd love to give full coverage when we can, of course. But I make light of it, but it's not funny. It's not funny, the fact that there's two separate levels of treatment that those in our country have been forced upon to accept. Comey, we're just going to, as we did before when he was making those 8647 threats on social media, we're just going to allow him to turn himself in. We're going to play nice with him. You know, last time we saw the footage of him being literally just walked into an SUV and just brought in casually for questioning. He's not worthy of that. He's one of the many people who tried their very best to destroy this country. It will take us years to go through all the crimes that they've committed, but this is a start. This is a start. But if you're wondering, well, what's next? J.D. Vance over the weekend did kind of allude, the vice president of the United States, did kind of allude to what's up ahead. I want to make sure we clear that, because that was very, very interesting when J.D. Vance did say, we're going to get more indictments out of all of this. I believe I have that for you guys here. Take a listen.
This government shutdown issue looming next week. How do you see this, and are you opposed to a shutdown, or do you think there would be advantages to that potentially?
Well, look, we don't want to shut down the government, Martha, but it's really up to the Democrats. Under our system, you need 60 Senate Democrats to vote for the clean continuing resolution that the President and House Republicans have put forward. I think it's preposterous, Martha, and I think the American people really should pay attention to the fact that Democrats are threatening to shut down the entire government because they want to give hundreds of billions of dollars of health care benefits to illegal aliens. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a political party actually advertising the fact that they want to shut down every essential function of government, and they want to use that as leverage so that they get more money for illegal alien health care benefits. It's such a stark contrast between Republicans who are trying to put the interests of the American people first and Democrats who I think would want to take money from the American people to give benefits to illegal aliens. We don't want to shut down the government, but if Democrats refuse to just pass this clean continuing resolution, that's exactly what's going to happen, and I think the Democrats are going to bear the responsibility for it.
Yeah, time and time again, we continue to see this. I'm so fed up with people trying to go out there and say that that this is the revenge tour that's going on right now in this country, that people are going to be prosecuted, and it's because they're upset because President Trump was targeted. This is the accountability tour. And time and time again, those in the mainstream media are actually doing a very aggressive job at trying to go through all of this and trying to pretend like there's actual victims here, innocent people, but they're deep state operatives. And they're refusing to go out there and to actually address these crisis issues that we have to address in this country, because it will happen again, folks. It will happen again. And I know Jake Tapper, he really does a great job at trying to protect the machine to the best of his abilities. You know, they give him a show over at CNN on the weekends. And I always find the best sound bites from it, because he's always constantly going out there and he is just being absolutely ridiculous with a lot of his claims. But he defends the machine. He defends those who have actively tried to go out there and to lock up their political opponents. And he tried his very best to push back on Speaker Mike Johnson, who was on his show over the weekend. And it's interesting because he doesn't talk like that. He has a He has a way of framing things when he's talking to Republicans. And I'm trying to find the clip right now, but he has a way of framing things when it comes to Republicans, but he doesn't treat Democrats that way. Take a listen.
Let's turn to the other big subject in the news here, having to do with the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey. Just looking at the principle at stake here, if you can remove Comey and Trump out of the equation, as a constitutional attorney and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, do you believe it's acceptable for any president to publicly or privately instruct their attorney general to prosecute a political opponent and go as far as firing a U.S. attorney if they don't bring charges because they don't think the case is strong enough?
I'm glad you brought up the principle. That is exactly what's at issue here. James Comey lied to Congress. Okay, he took an oath. He said things to Congress that were simply not true. It's called perjury. A grand jury that is not, you know, a nonpartisan, non-biased grand jury that was assembled looked at the charges and they agreed, they voted, to bring an indictment of James Comey. Not President Trump, not the DOJ, but a grand jury. That's how our system works. It's a very important principle for us to apply that everybody has to subscribe to the law, even a former FBI director. And he has lots to answer for. There are many things that he could have been indicted for, but the statute of limitations ran out on so many of those matters. Not here. Perjury is important. You can't, especially if you're a high official, appointed or elected official, you cannot raise your hand, take an oath, and lie to Congress. And that's an important principle, a principle, Jake, for us to advance.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. And the fact that CNN trying to put up a fight is laughable, given the fact James Comey was actually a registered Republican until 2016. Then he went independent. And then the other person who is now feeling a little bit of heat right now from both the FBI and DOJ, John Bolton, was obviously someone who worked for President Trump. So while they sit there and pretend like this is President Trump targeting those on the left, it's not people on the left. He's going after people who claim to be Republicans, but people who have committed treason. And they don't like that. They don't like that. And, you know, while they sit there and pretend like this is only one side being targeted, I heard someone in cable news the other day say, unprecedented was how they described it. It's unprecedented what's going on right now in this country. I mean, save it. We literally have a panel of mugshots of people who were just working with President Donald Trump on challenging an election, which you had every right to challenge. And what'd you do as a result? Well, you tried to lock them all up. You tried to make a RICO case out of it. Now, what are the results of all of that? Well, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, the one who wanted that mugshot so bad of President Trump, which honestly was a blessing, not only for those in the merch industry who were able to get a kick-ass mugshot of the president, but it also made him look relatable. Because so many Americans do believe that they are being targeted by the government. And obviously President Trump has no shame. Has no shame. Because he fought the lawfare monsters. We'll call them monsters for now. I was going to say something else. Not a good word. He fought them and he won. And now he's going through all of their dirty laundry. And that's why the DOJ went after Fannie Willis over the weekend. Requiring her to hand over some travel records. You know, remember when she said, oh, I've got cash. I just pay my boyfriend back in cash. Now it's time to prove it. Miss Fannie Willis. You see, they don't like it. Because the current administration is playing by the same set of rules that they were playing with. They were playing by. And so now they're not very happy. They're not very happy about any of this. We got to give credit where credit's due. And I wanted to also highlight the Associated Press reporting that the group of FBI agents who you saw during the BLM riots of 2020 who took a knee. It's like one of those images you can't kind of wipe out of your mind. But they took a knee with protesters during the BLM riots. Well, they've been fired, according to the Associated Press. Now, I remember just a couple of months ago when the director came in, Kash Patel, he took over. They were shifted. And now, according to the Associated Press, they've been fired. Again, that's what you want from your FBI. Now, listen, you can be critical of the FBI. I always will be. But when there's a win, you got to celebrate and you got to say thank you to the FBI director and his deputy director for getting rid of those individuals. Because obviously, you're taking your knee during the BLM riots. You are not somebody who should be working at any federal agency. So it's good to hear that those individuals have been tossed. I want to also bring you guys another story that I think is actually pretty big, and it's not really getting much in the way of attention regarding a retired financier, Howard Rubin. He was arrested for allegedly sex trafficking women for many, many years. But the 70-year-old is a retired financier who, according to prosecutors, was running a decade-long sex trafficking scheme. And the details I'm going to spare you of, but the New York Post walks you through the court documents. I'm going to spare you of the more, I guess, colorful details. Because what happened to these women is absolutely heartbreaking, what they've had to endure, what they're alleging. But we will keep it as PG as possible. But according to prosecutors, he used his Manhattan penthouse as a sex dungeon. They're also making allegations regarding his former assistant, Jennifer Powers. They say that she was accused, or she's being accused, of helping recruit women from 2009 to 2019. Prosecutors allege that these women were both drugged or were intoxicated in other ways, I should say. And they go on to say that he was busted by the feds at his Connecticut home Friday morning and was hit with these sex trafficking charges. Now, if you're wondering why we're talking about this, it's because Rubin has connections to George Soros, according to the New York Post. Obviously, a prominent investor is that angle that the New York Post is reporting on. So, again, this seems to be a big story. It's not really getting much in the way of attention. Overall, it's estimated that at least $1 million of Rubin's money was spent on these allegations of sex trafficking. Again, court records are showing that they believe that he was paying these women anywhere from a couple of $1,000 to, I believe, the max was $10,000. And the sex dungeon that he was doing this out of was soundproofed. And there was, I guess, some type of electrocution device that was also being utilized. So if all true, this is good, and this is what you want to see. You want to see the DOJ going after these monsters. All right, folks, I want to point your attention to the very limited sale that we have going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. This is the sale you're going to want to indulge on. I'm telling you, because this is the big one. Methylene Blue is on sale. Buy one, get one free, but it's only for a limited time. You've got a couple more hours left in this sale. Obviously, if you're someone who is struggling and is looking to boost your energy levels, promote great brain health, and also looking to find a great detoxer, this is what you're going to want to turn to. It is on sale right now. Buy one, get one free. I know I'm a big fan of the capsules. I highly recommend you start your morning every day with the capsules. I love it. Head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. This buy one, get one free sale isn't going to last forever. And when you support the alexjonesstore.com, you're also supporting keeping us on air. So we greatly appreciate you do so. All right, we're taking your calls in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. I can't wait to hear from all of you.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, the last 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, bashing, like getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regressed, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
I'm
right
walking.
Now? Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to, don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly, where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you
for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, kicking off the third hour of the program, or like the second portion of all of this, taking your calls. And we've got a lot to dive into. I'm excited about this, but I wanted to just take a look right now over at the White House. Benjamin Netanyahu has been brought into the White House right now. He's meeting with President Trump. And we're going to see how that all works out. We also reported earlier in the program that there was a fire outside the White House in a Secret Service vehicle. Again, we're waiting to see more details, but it looks like the Prime Minister made his way into the White House for this meeting. And we'll continue to follow it, especially when they start taking questions from the media. But a lot happening today. We're excited that you guys are all here. I want to jump on to the callers because I know a lot of you have a lot to say. And I'm going to try my very best to get through to everyone. So I want to kick off today with our first caller, Badass Uncle Sam from New Orleans. Sir, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning to you, Brianna, a fellow New Yorker, and you can talk as fast as you want. I understand you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to hear that, I must say. What's on your mind today, sir?
Transparency, Brianna. You brought up transparency in the government. Exactly how much of that transparency do we ever really receive? We kind of live on a half-truths and half-lies, or maybe full lies. Like, can there be a half-lie? That's something like being a little bit pregnant, isn't it? I mean, right? Once you tell a lie, it's a lie. So, you know, our government in this administration that we have in here right now, they seem to specialize in half-truths and lies. Yet we still go ahead and put our efforts to support them. But let me ask you, let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say we were longtime friends. And you were a friend as a friend because you trust them, right? Mm-hmm. But then one day you find out, well, I just blatantly lied to you. And you really couldn't figure out the reason why. Maybe there was a reason, maybe there wasn't. Sometimes you would lie to maybe to protect someone. But really, when you lie to someone, you're basically treating them with disrespect. And you think they're too stupid to handle the truth. So here we have an administration that has lied to us about COVID, lied to us about 9/11, lied to us about what I can see, the Charlie Kirk assassination. Now I'm at the point I don't even know if he's really dead. I mean, how much trust can we put into him? And now, of course, he's you know, we got Donald Trump meeting with a known war criminal who's wanted as a war criminal in several countries. And, of course, Donald wants, you know, we ought to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Really? Really? When's the breaking point? Yana, when is the breaking point? That's what I want to know. When do we just say enough is enough? Because Donald Trump wants to mobilize the troops and put them in our city. Well, it sounds a lot like martial law to me. What I do is, why doesn't he get on and just say, you know, we're going to go right back to the Constitution and all these stupid, silly constitutional and inclusional laws that limit us from protecting ourselves? I'm in issuing an executive order, constitutional carry nationwide. Yeah. We can take the problem, but he won't do that, will he? Because it's all about the government coming to save us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a great point, right? I would love that. I hate the fact that we can't carry in all states because they've placed those restrictions, those unconstitutional restrictions on us. So yeah, I think that's actually great. And I think that, that'd be a heck of a fight. And the president claims that he supports 2A. So I know he said that just recently, a couple of weeks ago as well. So yeah, I would love to see that. You know, Steve Baker and I, just spoke about it a little bit earlier in the show, but like when you come out and you criticize the Trump administration, they go after you, not the Trump administration directly, but a lot of the people who have been loyalists on social media, they just don't like any type of criticism at all. But I think constructive criticism is the key point in all of this. The one really good thing that I like is usually if you could kind of stir up a lot of people who are upset, a lot of criticism about a certain policy or a certain take that the president has, he does usually respond to that pretty well. Other administrations don't, but they have lied to us. I don't know if the president directly has lied to us. I'll say this. I'll say when it comes to Operation Warp Speed, there were a lot of bad actors around him, and I don't know what he knew at the time. But it doesn't help the fact that he still pushes it as a great success. So I think you have a lot of valid points here. I mean, we talk about transparency all the time. They want to be transparent. You know, I submit those Freedom of Information Act requests, and I do it quite often. And I still have not received, and I'm still suing and fighting in courts for a lot of the documents that they claim to support that I should be able to get, because it would create that transparency. So badass Uncle Sam, you do have a great point there, my friends. You know, they claim to be transparent, but they're transparent on what they want you to see. And although it's an improvement from the last administration, it's still not good enough. I don't think it's good enough. And so we'll keep demanding more, but I appreciate you calling into the show today. So thank you for that. All right, folks, I want to turn to, it looks like Savage Dog is on the line from Georgia. I want to welcome you to the show today, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Look, I'm watching this whole thing play out over the last couple weeks. And although, yeah, I'm a Marine, but I saw my eyes out over Charlie Kirk like every single time I saw something. Mm-hmm. But now's the time, especially over this last weekend, we've got to clear our eyes, clear our minds, start thinking logically, and look at this. It's starting to look like a script, like a Hollywood script. You've got first, you got, you know, the Catholic school shooting in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Then you got Charlie Kirk getting killed. Then you got now all of a sudden back to back two veterans are okay. So it looks like to me, they're doing a pendulum swing. They're going to go, okay, let's fire up the MAGA base. Okay. That didn't really work. So now let's go ahead and fire up the liberal base. Oh, look, it's two veterans. It's two MAGA bubbas. And in the meantime, we've got Antifa doing their thing, and Trump walking the line of the Constitution of federal troops, which I truly believe at this point, you know, you got to enact the Insurrection Act and put troops in. I think the solution right now, if this administration is on the up and up, you got to go full Abe Lincoln, and you got to start treating this like an entire. I called you the first day you were on, and, mm-hmm. and said that we need to have a, you know, McCarthy style congressional hearings, mm-hmm. About school teachers, but all over America, communism 30 years ago was a bad word, hush hush, and in basements. Now it's like full blown. Yeah, I'm a communist. What are you going to do about it, bro? Well, let's look at the Constitution and see what we can do about it. Oh, here's the Insurrection Act. Communism is against America. It's against the Constitution. And anybody and everybody who swore an oath to the Constitution needs to figure out that oath. I was a Marine in the 90s. I got out in 98, but my oath lasts forever. And every veteran needs to figure that out. Your oath is forever, brother. It's a sacred oath, brother and sister. Yeah. We are under attack from satanic, cultist, communist. We are under attack. And we're getting shown a script from somewhere, someone, that it's rocking the pendulum back and forth in order to stir us all up, when all we need to know, this is spiritual warfare. Christians the same. You know, turn the other cheek, roger that. Christ also said, sell your cloaks for swords. All right, he didn't say bow down and get your ass kicked. He said, sometimes you got to stand up and not get your ass kicked. And so, I mean, I'm trying to unpack a whole, like, hours worth of commentary into what I can with you.
Yeah.
But I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's all weird. It all looks like a script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
and we need to pay attention to it and dismiss our emotions about it.
Yeah.
You know, thoughts and prayers are great. Stand up and act is better.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so strange about all of us. Like, we kick off the show by me saying it's none of this appears to be organic. And I can't imagine veterans going into a church and shooting up a church and shooting a child. This doesn't click. This doesn't sound like something that would be a possibility at that. You know, you don't sign up to serve this country and then that's what you become. You know, obviously we believe in PTSD and we believe that there's a lot of issues there with that, but this isn't that. There's something else here that's going on, and I agree with you on that front. You know, it's interesting. I probably should have addressed it with the first caller too, because I know he mentioned it as well. Uncle Sam did. But the federal government stepping in and kind of using their troops to protect federal buildings. I'm okay with them protecting the federal buildings. I think that should happen. It just seems like right after, obviously the Charlie Kirk assassination, that there should have been a very strong stance taken up. And I know you just kind of alluded to it too as well, Savage Dog, but, I'm very disappointed at the fact that, it doesn't seem like our federal government understands what it's up against right now. And by government, I mean the administration. I was expecting that the very next day after memorial service that people's doors are going to be ripped off the hinges. I was expecting that those who are funding these groups, the ones who have been pushing this and trying to destroy this country, that there was going to be some ramifications, that there was going to be, whether it was subpoena, there was going to be something. And we haven't yet seen anything. And it's not that you could tell me now that the investigations are underway. I know the president said that there are investigations into these groups, but we know who they are. There's been so many reporters, there's been so many authors who have come forward and written these detailed pieces that any prosecutor could just go off of. You could use it just to grab subpoenas, grab warrants, do what you got to do. There's no reason for it to be this delayed is kind of my point in all of this. I don't know if they understand that we're really at war here, but it's one side that's very well aware of this and the other side still seems to be trying to play footsie. And I just don't support that. It gets me really infuriated, actually. Because I feel like the one time that we could have actually made some real changes was right after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And what are they going to do? What are they going to say? Everyone in this country saw what happened to that man. And anyone with a soul, doesn't matter what political affiliation you have, you saw what happened and you knew that was an awful thing that should have never happened. But it did. But it did. And the only people who are defending it, the only people who are sitting there and pretending like it was acceptable, are those who should be investigated, those actual terrorists. Most level-headed Democrats, people who I know personally, what they saw was heartbreaking. And they did speak out on the issue, but they just don't have a loud enough voice to weed out those radical terrorists who are within their own party right now. I want to take another caller. And Savage Dog, thank you for calling in, of course. I appreciate it. James in Indiana, welcome to the program.
I'm kind of wondering, is this guy on SSRIs? Was he in the VA? They have him all boned out on pills? I mean, what's going on with the Michigan church?
Yeah, I would love to see that. I mean, I know probably they're going to try to say that his health records are not for public information. They're going to try their very best to suppress that. But yeah, I would say, James, that should be something that should be asked. It just doesn't make any sense, right?
Oh, absolutely. You can look up Veteran Miller in Texas that recently committed suicide. His dad was going off blaming the psychologist for drugging him instead of helping him. We need a serious conversation about the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't ever really want to have that conversation. It's like a protected class of individuals who are obviously well-funding the machine. But, I mean, James, you have a great point, all of this. You know, we talk about it with the transgender violence that's going on in this country. None of this makes any sense. None of this makes any sense to me. I just cannot wrap my mind around why one individual do this. I know the White House just came out earlier today and said that the suspect in Michigan had something against the Mormon church, and that's why he targeted that specific church. But it doesn't fit why someone would join and serve this country, that they'd one day lead themselves into shooting up a church with children. I mean, one of the reports was a child was shot in the back. It just doesn't make any sense. So I think that's fair to say. James, was there anything else you had on your mind in regards to that shooting?
No, that's about it. The only thing I can say for James Comey is nobody trusts the DOJ or the FBI, so that's the only thing he has going for him.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad right now. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to poke around and figure out what the heck's going on with that. Yeah, I mean, everyone's just saying the DOJ is a mess, but I think it's intentional at this point. And obviously, we don't trust them. So, James, thanks for calling the program. I greatly appreciate it. Of course, Bart in Georgia, welcome to the show, my friend. How's everything? What's on your mind?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about something Alex Jones has touched on hundreds of times, is Escape from New York City. It's not a movie. It's prophecy. And then when I saw this thing about a Muslim mayor in New York City is going to be the kiss of death, okay? And I think New York City is going to fall if this continues, unless radical action is taken. I mean, really radical military action is taken, because I think maybe 40 to 45% of New York City's population is illegal aliens, because it used to be about 10% in the 80s. So it's got to be like 40% now. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, as a New Yorker, as someone who started their career in New York City, and someone who lived in New York, I lived in Long Island, I have to say it's devastating to sit back and watch. I mean, I fled in 2019 because I went through criminal justice reform. I was reading it. I was like, this is really what they're trying to do. I mean, they're literally gaslighting women to become sexual assault victims, and nobody cared. Nobody cared. Democrats had no problem signing off on it because their paychecks were signed to it. Cuomo, who's also running for mayor of New York City, he was the one who actually forced that into the legislation. It was originally just supposed to be the state's budget, but they decided to tack in criminal justice reform. And although now that he's campaigning, he's, it was bad, but we fixed it. And he's trying to distance himself from it. He was the one who did all of that. So yeah, to have a communist running right now in New York City, and it's very likely that he's going to win because, like you said, he is Muslim and they have sent out the message. The message is to back him, which is interesting, right? Because when you look at a lot of these countries, these Middle Eastern countries, they don't do politics. But now when they come into the United States, they want to overthrow our politics with their candidates. And it's pretty disappointing. Discouraging. And I just don't know when people are going to wake up. What happens in New York? Like, what needs to happen specifically? Do we need to hit rock bottom? What's rock bottom for New York City? I would have thought you hit it by now. Apparently we haven't. And just sitting back and listening to him detail about how amazing government ran supermarkets are going to be. Yikes. Any good person I know has fled New York City though at this point. That's how I know Madani's going to win. Most level-headed people have left the city. Like, you can't live there. You can't. You can't defend yourself. They've released all the criminals. You're really up against a lot. All right, I want to get to our next caller. Inner City Rogue from Denver. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Brianna. I'd like to talk about some biblical prophecy here real quick, because we're running out of time, and you know, things are being fulfilled left and right. Specifically, the sacrifice of the red heifers, that wasn't a dry run. That was the real deal. And they're getting ready to, usher in their Antichrist, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, they're supposed to be lost in these last days, and you got a lot of people really confused and not understanding that this is exactly what they're supposed to do. The Jews are supposed to be lost. They're supposed to usher in their Antichrist for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then after that first 3.5 years, that's when the remnant will wake up. They'll flee Jerusalem. They'll flee and get protection unto the mountains. They flee. And that's the remnant. And but there's also this, you know, fake Jew element that, you know, Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 talks about, where it's the fake Jews, the synagogue of Satan, who are like, you know, running these central banks, running the government. And obviously it's okay to call these guys out. You're not going against or not blessing Israel if you call these people out and advocate for their arrest. You know, it's like you have your own son who's a murderer. You'd still advocate for his arrest and pray for his repentance, you know. So that's basically what we should be doing with the world leaders in Israel. But you also have Jews that are real Jews. They made it back to the land. They're getting ready to, you know, usher in their Antichrist, but they're also against their government. So, but we need to be out there protesting like they are right now. We don't see any patriots. We don't see any Christians on the streets. That's unacceptable. Programs like this to get people out to the streets, you guys could advocate for that a little bit more. But you know, people need to advocate for the fact that, you know, Christ came to die for our sins and spread the gospel and explain to people salvation, because that's the most important thing. You know, tomorrow's not promised. But this great tribulation is coming, and Trump is getting ready to be set up. He's the next in line to get assassinated. And let's get one thing clear. Charlie Kirk, he's dead, okay? There's nothing like, oh, maybe he's alive somewhere. No, they killed him. Mossad got rid of him. He started pushing back last minute, okay? And this is the same hand that killed Martin Luther King, JFK, and all the rest of them, okay? These guys mean business. They will take you out, and Trump is next. And people need to get ready for that. And Trump always talks about, you know, getting into heaven, or lately has been talking about that. I believe he's being tested by God. He really needs to step up, and really he needs to be born again. He's not born again yet. This is why he's concerned. He's, you know, God's testing him. He's trying to draw him and get him on his team yet, but he's still on the side of Satan. And this is what's happening with Trump. This is why he's doing things that don't make any sense. Much like King David, you know, the devil comes into these kings and starts playing with them. And then they start playing with the dark side. And that's what's happening with Trump. And Trump has just not had that born again moment yet. So he needs to have that moment again, or not again, but he needs to have that moment. So we make sure he's on our side and he's fighting this new world order. He knows it's going to be the final battle. So we hope he doesn't go out like a traitor, because, look, he already checkmated us with this big, beautiful bill, the Genius Act. I mean, this country's toast. But what he can do is go for some arrest and save some face a little bit before they take him out. Because who's next in line, I believe, is Kushner. I believe he's the Antichrist, none other. And he's going to set up this new world order here pretty soon. He's behind the scenes. Nobody wants to talk about him, but he's setting up this Abraham Accords peace deal in the Middle East and everything else.
Yeah.
But that's what people need to be watching out for, is him behind the scenes. And we really need to be praying for Trump to be born again, because that hasn't happened yet. He's being played by the devil right now. He's got the devil in him, and that's why he's doing things that just do not make sense and are setting up this new world order. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to go against Phoebe here pretty soon as well, just like everybody else, just like Charlie Kirk and everything. And I believe that's going to be the last domino. And The Simpsons predicted it. People need to take their predictions seriously, too. They also mentioned the rapture. It's all getting ready to go down. The great deception,
yeah,
the revealing of the fallen angels, all that mess. It's all getting ready to happen. So need to get into biblical prophecy, need to start spreading the gospel and start talking about what's actually in the Bible. And I don't know your faith, Brianna, but I hope you're born again. I hope you're a Christian. I hope you believe that, you know, Christ was, you know, did enough on that cross to pay for all your sins with his blood. And so I hope you, yes, you accept that and receive that as a free gift. And you're on our team, and yes, you're gonna fight this battle along with us.
Yes. Well, I think we are all fighting this battle, and I have new glimpses of hope every day when it comes to fighting this battle. And I think Americans are starting to wake up, and we're short on time, so I can't respond to all of that. But I wanted to thank you for calling in and thank everyone who's on the lines right now. Unfortunately, we only have a couple of seconds left in the show. But I greatly appreciate it when you guys call. And we'll do calls again tomorrow, because it's always great to hear from all of you. But, folks, speaking of limited time, I want to point you all over to the AlexJonesStore.com, because we are very limited on a sale that's going on right now. Methylene Blue is on sale right now. Buy one, get one free over at the AlexJonesStore.com. We're extending the sale till midnight tonight. Now is when you want to go over there right now and support and buy. Again, it's buy one, get one free. It's not going to last forever. If you're looking for an energy boost, maybe get rid of some of that brain fog, this is what you're going to want to turn to. Head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Don't go anywhere, though, because Alex is up next.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene Blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah. Yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!